I'm calling to order the meeting. It's 6:03 on June 25th, 2020. So I'm calling to order the meeting of the Board of Governors. We're going to do attendance again just because I wasn't recording. Steve Beauchesne, Rick DeShanko, Will Fountain, Phil Lombardo is here via teleconference. Mike Johnson just walked in. Bill McDowell. Brooke Stevens responded. Al Capoza responded. Ruth Ames responded. And Jim Moffitt is here. This is the June 25th, 2020 regular meeting of the Board of Governors of Black Point Beach Club Association. It is being held via teleconference and is recorded, being recorded live. Both minutes and recording will be posted on the association website, www.blackpointbeachclub.com. The meeting agenda and call-in number have been posted. If you would like your email address added to the membership list, please send it to pod@blackpointbeachclub.com. Public comments will be heard at the meeting, at the beginning and end of this meeting. If you are an association member and would like to comment, dial *6 when we enter the public comment session and wait to be recognized. Then give your name and address. Comments are limited to 3 minutes. Okay, so let's start with approving the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of May 28, 2020?
Motion to approve the minutes from May 2020.
Second.
Second.
Mike seconds it. And I'm going to take a show of hands. All in favor?
One issue, small. On page 11, I missed you, Ms.
Thank you. We knew that, Rick.
Just want to make sure okay. That's on page 11.
Maybe we just do a discreet change. Okay, so once we change Rick's gender back to what it is, can we all approve those minutes? All in favor. Phil?
Yeah.
Okay, it's unanimous. Approval of the minutes of June 16th, 2020. Can I have a motion to approve?
I move.
Okay, Mike moves to approve. Second. Rick DeShanko, all in favor.
I have a question.
Oh, wait, we got to get a second one first. Will seconded it. Rick has a question.
On the website, there wasn't a hard copy or where you could tap the minutes. It was just the recording. So I tried to listen to it, and it was so garbled, I don't know if we would get into the full disclosure problem with those minutes. Is there a way to be written minutes posted?
We are attempting to do it. Unfortunately, the person taking the minutes was taking them and got the same garbled information.
Okay.
Brooke is going to see what she can do about deciphering, and I will go over it with her, and it's one of the casualties of the situation of the pandemic. We'll do the best we can, and I don't know, you know, that was just a
disaster. Do we hold off on the vote because of that?
That is a good question. Let us postpone until we have something coherent. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. All right, so we are going to, does anybody have an objection to that? We are going to postpone approval of the June 16th minutes. Thank you, Mr. Shanko. Communication to the board via email will be posted in the minutes of this week. In a minute, as soon as I deal with the technology, we will be open for public comment.
Back to you, thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right, if you would like to make a comment, dial *6. Wait till you're recognized. That means I have to connect you, so there will be a pause. And then you may identify yourself and speak. Mm-hmm.
Okay, Peter, I'm sorry, Lyashek, I should know it. Anyway, I'm going to unmute you in a sec.
Thank you.
Okay.
May I speak? Are we ready?
Yes.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Peter
Lyashek. Give us your address, please.
Yes, I'm doing that.
I'm
Peter
sorry.
Lyashek Street. All right. I'll start again. Peter Lyashek, 3 Waterside Road.
Okay. Thank you.
My question. Okay, my question is, did the board receive the email that was sent not only by myself but from other people from Waterside and Osprey Road regarding the parking situation?
We did. We received 10, and they will be discussed during the agenda.
Excellent. That's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
All righty. Are there any other comments? All right, I am going to assume there are no more comments. I'm not getting anything up here, and there will be another public comments session at the end of the meeting in case there's some technological glitch, but this seems to be working appropriately. Just if someone comes down.
Cheryl, it's Phil. Cheryl?
Yes.
Are you moving your computer or the microphone or something on the desk? Because I hear scraping and thumping, and
she's
it's distracting.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll pick it up next time.
It should not happen again.
Yeah, because it might not seem a big deal there, but it's a big deal here.
Sorry, I appreciate that. Okay. Before we start with reports, I want to sadly extend sincere thanks to Bill McDowell and Mike Johnson for their service to the board. I just can't express my appreciation. And neither of them will be running for a seat on the board of governors on Saturday. So thank you both.
You're welcome.
Okay, Al Capoza, the treasurer's report.
Yes, thank you, Cheryl. I'll be talking from the document titled Financial Report 2019/20, actual through 6/25/20. Just a reminder. I reformatted this report to separate the pier repair activity from the usual operating activity. If we can focus on total income line, total income without piers, the actual through 625 came out to be $253,000, and that's compared to a budget of $248,600 after we exclude the fund surplus income, which is to cover any contingencies. So that's about a $5,000 increase over budget. And it was due mostly to higher liens and interest income on this year's assessments, plus interest earned on cash during the year. As of the end of June, the income shouldn't change much, so we'll keep that positive variance to the end of the year. from there, we'll take a look at the expenses. The expenses through 625, they were $203,000. This amount will increase to about $220,000 as we, pay the final bills for the year end. So if we look at the $220,000 against our adjusted budget of $248,600, we basically came in about $29,000 under budget. And just a little bit of specifics, all the expense categories, that is contractual services, operations, other expenses, they were below budget, and the exception was the personnel services, and that was primarily because we paid the beach patrol salaries or pays earlier this year than we did last year. So at that point, we're looking at the net income without peers, and showing that we're going to project a surplus of about $33,000. Okay, below that line is the peer activity information, and that shows that the income we got in from assessments was the $606,800. The total expenses for that activity was $672,000. So the net cost over the assessment was about $66,000, and that's going to be covered by the budgeted amount of fund surplus that we had in our budget. So when you take the $33,700 surplus for the operating, subtract the net loss of the $66,000 for the peer, the final net income for the year looks like in the neighborhood of $32,000 loss. So what does that mean?
Could you repeat that last sentence?
Okay. When you take the surplus of $33,700 from the normal operating budget, and then you add that to the $66,000 loss that was from the peer, you come up with an overall net loss of $32,200.
Okay, thank you.
So what that really means is that we started the year with about $199,000 of fund surplus. Okay, we have to bring in that $32,000 loss, so we should end the year with about $167,000 of fund surplus.
Okay. Thank you.
That concludes the financial report that I had. I'd like to, Cheryl, if you would allow me to cover the other subject.
Absolutely. Could you wait 1 minute? I'm going to close all the windows. We're getting some extraneous noise, so we can hardly hear you. So if you could just wait about 1 minute, we'll close the windows and see if we can tolerate the weather in the room. Give me just pause for a minute, and then I would like to hear about the
accounting firms.
Okay, I will summarize. I know.
If you turn the computer around and look at them.
And while we're waiting, I'm going to summarize. There was a surplus of $33,000 from the regular budget, and the only thing... We're not going to be able to do that. I'm sorry. What would you like me to do?
Is it recorded?
It's being recorded. Would you like me to repeat it now?
No.
Okay. All right. All right, Al, could you continue with the next thing you wanted to bring to our attention?
Sure. I apologize.
As loud as you can. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I should have asked if there were any questions on the numbers first.
Are there any questions on the numbers? Well, I can repeat the numbers if you'd like them.
Sure.
Okay. Al, I'm going to repeat for everyone and tell me if I'm wrong. There was a surplus of $33,000 on the regular budget, and the only thing on the regular budget that was above expectation was personnel, because we added the extra beach patrol people.
Right.
Here there was, $66,000 lost, so that means there was a net loss of $32,000, given the surplus of $33,000. And in the end, we have a $167,000 surplus. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's okay. As long as we pay all the bills that we're supposed to be paid and so forth, yes.
Okay, thank you. And I'm going to pause and repeat everything you're saying for the benefit of the board. So go ahead and then I'll repeat it. Okay. Do you want to bring up Garvey, Steele, and Bancroft now?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Just if I could, a little bit of background. We had an accounting firm called Cohen Resnick who provided this annual accounting and financial reporting expertise, which basically assists Black Point in the presentation of their financial statements, which was requested by the association, and they have advised us after like a 40-year relationship that they were terminating this annual engagement effective with the last fiscal period that they did, which was June 30th, 2019. So essentially the work that's being done by this accounting firm is called a compilation engagement, and the work product yields a report, which is considered a formal report, which includes a signed cover letter by a CPA of the firm, and it's addressed to the Board of Governors, and then it has a set of our financial statements, and it's essentially the effort that they do is the minimal amount of professional services that a firm can provide. Okay.
Yep.
They do a cursory check, but they don't enter into any audit or review of the financial statements to verify the accuracy or the completion of the information.
All right, I'm going to repeat that. And if anybody has a mask, why don't you just come closer with the mask so that you can hear?
Cheryl, is there an issue with you hearing me?
Unfortunately, if everybody has their computers on, there's too much static, so they're trying to hear it from my computer. And I think next time I'm going to have to bring an extra speaker. So right now I am either asking people to come closer to the speaker with the mask, or I'm going to repeat what you said and summarize it, if that's all right with you.
Okay.
And did you send that email to everyone on the board that described this?
Yes.
Okay, so Al's just repeating what he said to everybody about the purpose of the accountant's compilation report, and that it's not an in-depth accounting. It's kind of a It's a signed cover letter that our financial statements had a cursory check. So it's not like they looked over what our records are saying, and it's like, oh, balance, didn't balance, is okay, not okay. And Al, if correct me if I'm wrong, I asked Al if it was essential to have this, since it doesn't look like, it's pretty cursory. And my impression is that it's important to have that relationship in case there is more work that needs to be done, and that if an agency has more than $1 million, right?
Yes.
If dealing with more than $1 million, it is mandated to have a report from a company like this. So that's why we have been doing it all along. Since I know what your recommendations were, do you mind if I repeat them so people can hear?
No, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, so in Al's email to the board, he looked into two different agencies or accounting firms. There were two. One seemed to be more thorough, and it was not much more. What was it, about $500 more? Like, maybe you could give me
$250, actually.
Huh?
$250.
$250 more. So you are looking for us to approve the employment of Garvey, Steele, and Bancroft. Is that correct?
Right. It's a local firm out of Mystic. They seem to have, a list of clients that some of them are like us. So let's, for instance, they've got Groton Longpoint. I'm sorry, in Groton. So they're familiar with this procedure that we.
All right. So how about if we get a motion that we employ the firm of Garvey, Steele, and Bancroft to do our accountant's compilation report? Is that the wording that would make sense, Al?
Why isn't it going off the bid?
Al, can you hear me?
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That's okay. I was just going to ask for a motion, and if it doesn't sound right, let us know. Can I have a motion that we employ the firm of Garvey, Steele, and Bancroft to do our accountant's compilation report? Is that an appropriate motion? Does that meet your needs?
Yes.
Al?
Mrs. Finn, so moved.
Okay, so somebody else will make that motion.
Phil made it.
Thank you, Phil. Brooke, do you have that motion?
I do.
Great. All in favor, let's just raise your hands, and if it's not unanimous, I'll record it as such. All right. And Phil, are you in favor of that?
Yes.
Oh, you made it, of course. Thank you, Billy. Too much multitasking. Okay, so that motion was passed. Thank you very much, Al.
All right. Thank you. Yep.
Next on the agenda would be Ruth Ames, our tax collector.
Okay, I'm ready.
We are ready. Get as close to the microphone as you can, please, Ruth, and yell.
And yell. Can you hear well?
Never occurred to me to bring a speaker.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. And if anybody else can't, come closer to the table with your mask, please. Go ahead, Ruth.
Right.
I don't need anything that people can't hear.
Okay. I'll report on the current collection rate. We were to collect. We are to collect $201,472. We've collected $90,454, and that represents only 316 outstanding accounts, five of which are partially paid. Of the 581 that I'm supposed to collect for them, we've collected 316, and it's not even July 1 yet. So we're doing very well. Relative to last year.
So that's good news. Okay.
Yeah.
Did everyone hear that 316 out of 580 have paid before July 1st?
No.
So that's
316 have not paid. They are still outstanding.
Paid.
But
since it's not July 1st, that's still good news?
It's excellent. Yes.
Okay.
Of that, there is one person in the association who has requested a deferment due to COVID.
Okay.
And that has to be respected, and that means there will be no interest charged on his account unless he pays after October 3rd. So,
okay.
But he's the only one that I've had through all my district.
Well, that's good for our coffers.
Yes. The relative to back taxes, I think we've done exceptionally well, and that is we have only three outstanding accounts, and one of those three is partially paid, and that leaves a balance of $1,108 from the original collection of $208,877, which I was supposed to collect. Special assessment, there are four outstanding. Three of them are the same that are in the real estate, and one of them partially paid. Of the $606,873, there's $2,754 outstanding. And I still have one little dribbler there at $5.53 outstanding from the prior year. And if he doesn't pay, I'm going to put in the money myself. I'm tired.
I'm going to repeat briefly what you said, and correct me if I'm wrong. On back there are only three outstanding for a total of $1,108. Is that correct?
On real estate, yep. That was
and
due
for the
July
19th. The same three outstanding, and then you said a fourth person?
Yeah, there's one more, yep.
Okay. And the total for
and that
is?
And that guy's partially paid.
In the total for that unpaid for the special assessment is what?
$2,754.
Everybody get that? Thank you very much, Ruth. We're going to call you back at the end of the meeting. Is that okay with you?
Well, do you want me to talk about parking passes or not?
Yeah, I think people should know what's happening in case it continues, please.
Continue?
Yeah, okay. I think the board should know what you're experiencing in case it continues.
Okay. This year, so far, there have been 12 reported lost hanging tags.
12
That's
lost?
Up until not even July 1. And in the past years, the number is around 4 for the whole season. And what happens is each time a hanging tag is reported, I let Cheryl and Jim know, and I give them the, you know, what I've replaced it with, and then it's Jim and his crew have to go out and look for those that are void to see if somebody is using them improperly. Added for them and kind of...
Could you say that last sentence again? We couldn't hear it.
Do you want me to unmute it?
Yes.
There's a lot of back stuff, whatever. What happens is I report it to Cheryl and Jim, and then it's Jim's job to get him and his crew to go out and look for the bad ones and report them. You know, they're using them improperly. And it seems to be much worse this year. Many of them are hanging tags that are used on the golf carts. And I would just like to share with you what I do for the other association. And I know there are several associations in town that use this method. Namely, not everybody gets those hanging tags. If you want a hanging tag, when you pay your tax bill, you request a hanging tag and you pay a fee, or I don't know, in your case, maybe you just want to, if they request it, they get it. They supply a self-addressed stamped envelope, and in the return mail, I send out the hanging tag. My suggestion is that you do like others, and that is they charge $10. If they want a hanging tag, they pay $10. Believe me, they all think it's a bargain. So I have one district I work for. There are parking places for 50 people, I'm up to 476 parking passes distributed. So it's a moneymaker. I think you are paying, Al will confirm that you're paying about $1,300 or $1,400 for these tags. Well, at $10, you've made quite a profit. So that would be my suggestion. I think the first year we'd still have to order all that we've ordered in the past and then kind of base it on that as to what's going to be used in the future. And it's just unfortunate. There can't be some remedy to how they're going to handle the golf carts and parking there, because to me that's an easy peasy for somebody to come along and pick that up, and now they have a parking pass.
Thank you. I'm going to summarize what you just said, and I think it's something that the board is going to probably not be able to act on tonight, but needs to keep track of what's happening on the rest of the summer. I don't know what everyone heard, but when Ruth sends out the parking passes with the tax bill, her average per summer is four people. Say, I lost it, can I have another one? And what she does then is she lets Jim and I know the lost one. So theoretically, the beach patrol will look and see, oh, that's a number we should ticket this person, obviously it was stolen. The reality of whether that can happen on a daily basis is something for discussion in the future. What's significant is, whereas in a whole summer there's usually only four lost, it's not even July 1st, and there have been 12 lost tags. So the concern is, from the association's point of view, the reason we have tags is both to protect our members from incoming people, overflow from other places, and to protect all members so that they have more likely access to parking, especially if you have two tags, then somebody else can't park. The next piece of that is, it does seem that the golf carts are the people that are losing them the most. And Ruth said that all the other associations she works for charge and ask people to send a self-addressed stamped envelope. It also has been very taxing in terms of Jim and Ruth and I, with basically 30 processes for every person for the whole thing, for people that are lost them, to communicate with each other, and then Jim's got to communicate with the beach. So it's just something we have to look at this summer, because it's not even July and people are losing them, and if they're being lost, who's getting them? So something to think about. I don't know if anybody wants to address it right now or wait till the July meeting and see what has happened. It looks like Will has something to say, so we'll wait for a minute. Ruth, did I get that right for the most part?
You're perfect.
Ruth also said it cost the association $1,400 to print them up, about $1,200 to $1,400. Okay, Will.
Okay, he just wants to know if the tax collector and treasurer's reports were published on the website.
Are they published on the website?
They're not always published before the meeting. They're very often published with the minutes. Yeah. Yep. Okay, yes. Thank you, Will. Both the tax collector and the treasurer's report will be published with the minutes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, Ruth, thank you for that information. I'm going to put it on next month's agenda so we can keep track of what's happening, and if it remains to be an issue, we can spend some time addressing it. And then
All right. We
will talk to you later. Yes.
Wait a minute. I currently have two more requests for replacements, and at the last notice that I got from you, I was told not to issue any more for the time being. Are we relaxing that? Am I going to issue them?
You've just gotten one more?
Two.
Two more? Okay.
Yep.
So what happened was, I personally was getting overwhelmed with dealing with this, and I said, let's just put a moratorium on until the board can meet. Do we want to continue just randomly replacing every lost ticket? Or do we want to lengthen the moratorium? Or yes, Mike?
Do you have anything from the Ed Zito.
I'm going to take it right away. As everybody made a request from people that requested already.
One person requested from me, because I'm doing the beach passes now, so it's not realistic for Brooke to be driving with a big the beach passes. I think someone asked for a beach pass and a tag. And at that point, I was like, I can't do this anymore. We're going to put a moratorium until the board speaks to that. And that person was like, well, that's okay, because I can access the beach with family or something. It did not seem to be a significant issue for that person. And since then, it looks like, Ruth, you've had one more request?
No, I've had two more requests, and I think they're for the hanging tags.
Which is really more of an issue, because the hanging tags are a permanent fixture. The beach passes were just for the summer.
Yeah, so, and I didn't even know that you were issuing them. So some of the people have asked for beach passes, and then after I go back and forth, I realize they're not asking me for a tag. They're asking Brooke for a
beach pass.
Beach pass.
Right. So the question is, do we continue giving out excessive lost? I think there's two issues. One, there's the expense and the time on staff and board members. And two, if that many are getting lost, then they're not effective in protecting our community. So do you want me to continue the temporary moratorium until a future date, or do you want to continue distributing to anybody that reports a lost tag?
My suggestion is you continue to give them to, you know, hand them out to them. I mean, I think that many of the people have a significant reason why they have lost them, being stolen off the golf cart. Perfect. And they shouldn't be penalized because they tried to abide by the law. So I think what we could do is continue handing them out until I run out, and then say, no, they're gone.
That sounds okay to everybody? Continue handing them out until they run out? And we've had golf carts for 3 years, so it's interesting that this year there's so many that are being lost and stolen. And on the other hand, if they are being lost and stolen, and this is a critical summer, maybe we could encourage people to use their cars when they need to use a beach pass rather than a golf cart. But any ideas?
They're numbered, right?
Their numbers, yes.
You get a list of the ones that have been stolen?
Yep.
Okay, with the numbers?
Yeah.
And keep giving them out, and if you see one that's stolen, then you have to make note.
And how reasonable is it for your people to keep track of all, because we have 12 stolen or lost
only
12
now. Numbers.
Right.
Get them on the phone.
If they look on their phone, they have them on the phone. They have them on
okay,
the
so they'll check. With every card, they'll check those 12 numbers to it. Is that a reasonable thing to expect?
Yeah.
I just want to know, because if it's not, then we need to discuss it further. If you truly think people...
that they're on the phones too much, so I don't know.
Well, I think if they're on the phones and not talking and looking at a cell phone is different than chatting up somebody while you're sitting in the sun.
Yeah.
I'm more concerned, is it reasonable for them...
They have access to the spreadsheet.
Okay. All right. So we will give them out until we run out? Yes, Mike?
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. They run out, but I think you also maybe at the July meeting or the next meeting talk about, you know, if these are the lost tags, they'll be charged for it.
Okay. All right, so we'll revisit in July, and from now on, Ruth, we will give them out till they run out.
Okay, sounds good.
We'll see if it continues becoming, or if it escalates as an issue, then we can readdress it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Piers and Seawalls. Dr. Bushain is going to speak about piers and seawalls.
Well, we've got a couple things going on. I've been in touch with Rick Pinder from Pinder Construction, who did the pier for us. They are going to be out Tuesday or Wednesday of this week. They wanted to wait till they get the warmest weather that they could. And the check has to be cut for them by the end of this month. So I think they want to get the job done before they get paid, and I think they're going to insist on that. But they will be sealing the new pier, and he requested that we have no foot traffic or any other type of traffic on that pier for a period of 24 hours after he applies it. And things like that to take it off. So I would appreciate if members would go along with that. I don't know the chemical nature of what they're putting on there, but I would not let my grandchildren go out on there with their feet because who knows.
Yeah.
So that's that part. And again, that was Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, weather permitting. The other episode or other thing we have in the works is the GNCB doing the peer assessment of the remaining peers. We did get a bill from them. They have done all the field work. They're just compiling the data, and they're hoping to get us a report by the first or second week in July. So then we'll have some idea of how much work we need or don't need to do to the remaining peers, and we'll be able to budget those items.
And now for the specific, I don't know if everyone knows, Bill, Mike, yes.
Who's first? Can they say anything about the same CLI?
Yep, they're going to tighten everything they've already put in, and they're going to put what they haven't put in yet. So the total job should be done when they come in, whatever day that is.
All right.
Did he bring our t-shirt?
Didn't ask him that.
All right, I'm also going to ask you to summarize for everyone's information. Steve and Will and Jim and Mike have responded to three different homeowners' communications. Two of them live on opposite sides of the Bel Air right-of-way. So the right-of-way in the seawall is ours at Bel Air, but the abutting properties also have seawalls. And they're I'm calling it a scour wall. I don't know if it legitimately is, but it's like a walkway that kind of protects the seawall. And their scour walls and the scour wall in front of the right-of-way are breaking up, and they wanted to kind of coordinate effort. So I will leave that to you to continue.
The jurisdiction on that scour wall is just a wall that prevents the wave action from undermining the wall and causing it to fail. The scour wall that's there is in disrepair. We don't know who built that scour wall. It goes back for time immemorial, so we don't really know who the builder of that was. Our beach property ends on the Mahantic Pier. We don't know beach further down, so in that scour wall is actually below the mean high water mark. So really that's under the jurisdiction of the DEP. I've written a letter to the landowners saying that they would need to approach DEP for approval. If they do gain it, our concern as the Board of Governors would be how would they access that their seawall to make repairs. We would request that they set a plan to us for approval on the right-of-way. We don't want to see any damage happen to the right-of-way. And with heavy trucks and equipment, it could definitely happen. So we would need to sign off on any plans they have and have them fill out an application making them responsible for any damage that's done. So that's basically all we've got on that.
Thank you. Does anyone else want to add to that? Yes, Will.
Okay, for the record, Black Point Beach School did not build the seawall at the right-of-way.
The actual seawall as well, but it is on Black Point Beach Club's property.
Yeah.
So therein lies the difference. The seawall is on Black Point property. The scour wall is not, and the scour wall is what the neighboring people would like repaired because it affects water coming up under theirs. Am I not? That's not correct.
Yeah, they want their seawall repaired too.
They want their seawall.
Yeah.
They want their seawall repaired.
Yeah, they're doing the seawall and the scour wall.
But they're not requesting that we do it.
No,
No. We're just doing it, and they're requesting that maybe we want to do ours.
Right.
But our seawall is intact, and the scour wall in front of our seawall does not belong to us. Therein lies the... So basically, it's up to those, our neighbors, to deal with DEEP or the state of Connecticut, because the scour wall is on state property, not our property. Okay, and you communicated that to people. And then there was another question from someone who lives...
Hi. I don't know if you can hear, but
right away.
Got this on.
I think
okay. Can you hear that or not?
So I guess there was some water coming up through...
Can you hear it?
...rocks in front of sea spray. And that was great. So thank you, Will.
Okay. We have contacted Ms. Vianney, reference water sprout at today. Her problem, it happens to be her view.
Okay. So it's not on Black Point property. No. Okay, thank you.
Oh, we have to contact her because it is her problem, not ours.
Okay. Okay, and you're going to do that, Jim? Okay, thank you. Anything else or any questions for the people that have been addressing sea walls and scour walls and piers? Okay with that? Great. I don't know if there's anything going on with zoning, Steve.
Yes. They made a report at the end of last year, the direction that they're going to take zoning this year, and that is to have a property management guidelines, and they'll be just that, guidelines initially. If everything goes peacefully and everybody, you know, goes by the guidelines, it won't become law. But if we see a lot of people that are ignoring it, it would gain teeth probably a couple of years down the road, just letting people know that this is what the zoning is interested in. And the other thing that they are going to be working on is working on pre-existing non-conforming lots and how to address people's concerns about building, because they are in kind of a cramped space, and mm-hmm. what a non-conforming use that goes to a second floor is still non-conforming, and we can't mm-hmm. not supposed to expand that. So they're working on some ins and outs as far as what they can do to accommodate, see, you know year-round owners, get a lot of those now. And we're trying to make sure that we can work with those people and for the laws. So.
All right, thank you. And are the guidelines now posted on the website? I've seen them, but I don't know where I've seen them.
I sent them out to the board. I don't know if they're ready yet.
Okay, but they will be posted when they're... Okay.
Yeah.
That's right, they were sent to the board to see if we had any input.
Right.
Okay. So new zoning guidelines will be made available on property management, will be made available to the public once they're confirmed.
Yeah.
Any more information from anyone that's had any work with the grounds? Mike or Will, is anything new coming up that we need to address? Okay. Oh, thank you. Billy, anything new with fishing and watercraft?
No. I gave the leftover kayak passes to Will. There's only two left that I had left for my thing. Will requested them. I handed them over to him, along with the list of all the names that I had taken in the past couple of years when I handed out the particular passes.
Great. Thank you. And Will has ordered new passes. Just reminding people that you can get them at no cost, and the passes, the stickers are for small craft and kayaks. They allow kayaks to be put on the kayak racks. No other small craft other than kayaks should go on kayak racks. But if you have a sticker and you're on the beach, it will allow us to get in touch with you if your small craft, if there's a hurricane or there's any kind of a storm. It's just kind of a neighborhood watch thing, so it's another protection. But I do want to remind people that paddle boards cannot go on kayak racks. They were not designed to be wide enough for them. The other thing I wanted to ask the board is, we don't have a system. A couple of years ago I was doing it, but we don't have a system to keep track of that. So 3 years ago, if there was an unidentified kayak on the rack, they got a note with a stuck to their boat that said, please remove this or get a sticker. And for the most part, people immediately called and got a sticker, but it was one way to make sure that people were using them that were entitled to use and were from Black Point, and also to keep things from getting carried away, because the past couple of years they've been stacked willy-nilly and people aren't able to get their kayaks because other boats are on top of them. So could I ask you, Jim, to get involved with your beach patrol in enforcing that on a weekly, you know, just once a week check, leave a sticker for someone if they don't, leave a note on their boat saying, you know, it will be removed in a week, or please apply for a sticker. Thank you. And that way, I see people. I have a friend with a heart condition. It took her a half hour to get her off, her kayak off of the rack because of the way they were stacked. Mr. Fountain.
Okay. Hold off on that. We have no stickers. Oh, yeah. We've run out.
Oh, okay. So we're going to hold off on that until, well, you could still have the beach patrol. If there's a paddle board or someone is stacking boats, you can take them out and put them on, but please do that. And we won't ask for stickers until we'll get more stickers. You'll let.
Yes, they were kind of busy.
Yeah, well, everything's crazy now. Yeah. But, you know, it's still early, so if we can start getting people in the habit of not stacking.
Okay, he'll let Jim know when we get.
Thank you. And, you know, if they're stacked and there's no room, we may. We'll have to deal with that. We maybe put it on the right of way for that day, or ultimately take it off the beach. But it doesn't make sense to have racks if people can't get their boats off the racks because they're being abused. Thank you.
Cheryl.
Yes.
So the little altercation, well, probably wasn't even that, but the boat that was at the beach.
The Hobie Cat.
So. Yeah, he's out of there, but
yeah.
Are we going to look at some way to maybe classify the crap that does go there that, so that doesn't happen again?
Do you want to next month put a definition of dinghy and add it to the rules?
It's in the rules.
It says dinghy. Do we want to define it?
Oh.
I mean, it says dinghy. I need to call the person or Jim whose it was so that he understands. I mean, he did not know that it was actually in the rules. Do we need to define dinghy, or is that self-explanatory?
Yeah, I think we maybe should bring the definition to one of the meetings, and everybody,
okay,
you know, the Board of Governors can look at it to see if it describes what's supposed to be there.
All right, and we can agree on what a dinghy is. There's probably pretty much of a standard. Could you look into that, please, Jim? Thank you.
I think maybe eventually you're going to have to look at the kayak mooring field, because that's getting sort of full.
The one off New Hampshire?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially now that we can't use a.
The one that's got a mushroom, that high tide is very, and that shaft is straight up.
Ooh. Okay.
And maybe you're going to have to make the description for those.
Well, actually, in the rules, it says that one needs to, and we haven't been enforcing it, one needs to communicate with the. What's the name of the agency that controls
the Harbor Master.
So if we give it to the Harbor Master, then we don't have to worry about it. And I don't think it's complicated.
I don't think they're going to do the kayak one.
Oh, okay. All right. So we'll just keep an eye on it. All right. Let's watch out and see what happens by the end of July. Thank you. Okay, Jim, our association manager, can we have your report, please?
Sure. This is Jim Moffitt, beach manager. I sent every board member to be included as Appendix A, the Association Manager's Report for June 2020. Without getting into too many details, if there's any questions on that document, please ask. Otherwise, it'll be posted along with the minutes for the public to consume. And I have a couple of questions I'd like to ask the board to make a decision on, possibly.
Go for it.
Okay. Are there any questions first on the monthly report? Thank you.
Thank you for all your work. Yes.
Yes, thank you. Somebody was talking about a seawall.
Now, if you're checking the tag.
No.
for people that have been sitting down to speak?
Yes.
You are, because his daughter was down there and nobody ever checked it. It was inside her bag, her beach bag, but it was never checked.
I don't have
an answer to that. Perhaps it would be easier if just routinely, starting the summer, patrol went by and just said, would you please have your, so people learn not to just have it, but to make it so they can see it. You know, just for the summer, because we want to protect our. I have a couple of questions for you, but I'd rather deal with yours first.
Okay.
Thank you, Will.
Last Friday night, in the playground, I was notified by a member that fell down the playground.
Yeah.
And I navigated it. It was a huge branch. I was with me. I couldn't move it. So next day, or 2 days later, I got a friend, and we just cut it up. We removed it. So it's no longer a hazard. But I can, looking at, the overhang above the playground, I called an arborist to come in, take a look at it, kind of scope it out. Will was with us as we walked through. The arborist is an approved contractor that we've been using for years. I trust his judgment. He gave me a bid that I'd like to have the work done. It cost $1,700 to thin everything out back there and avoid any potential hazards that may also occur.
I think our policy is we need more than one bid on something that expensive. So if you could look into that and compare notes, obviously the work needs to be done. But does anybody have any comments on that?
I think he should just make sure that he takes off, because if we had been having camp or something, that had come down. So keep the playground closed.
Okay, so I will get more bids. My guess is that this is going to be the lowest. It's always been the lowest. I would not like to wait another month to make that decision, then another couple weeks after that to get in here. I would like to get this hazard taken care of.
If we should open up the playground, it should be done.
So, we don't have, our policy is to get more than one bid. If Jim gets another bid, we could have a quick teleconference, special meeting, whenever it comes, or we can break the policy and go with it. I'm not comfortable with that.
I'm not ready
Would a motion to hire an arborist to work on the trees for an amount not to exceed $1,700, because we have a $1,700 bid, that would give Jim the authority to hire somebody. If somebody comes in at $1,400 and he's happy with him, I can't see why he wouldn't feel it's going to have to get done.
Right.
That way it can be done a lot faster instead of the next four meetings.
Okay. All right, so the motion is?
The motion would be that we authorize Jim Moffitt to hire an arborist to clean up the trees, prune the trees in the playground for a fee not to exceed $1,700 after getting two more bids, yeah.
Okay. And you second it, Rick.
Yep.
Could I have one quick discussion thing? Do we want to give a parameter? Like, what if we have a $1,700 guy who's good, and then two bids that are coming in at like $1,200? Do we want to say if we're
getting? I think Jim should use his judgment there.
All right,
that's
not going to happen. Okay.
It's going to come in closer than that. It's going to come in like maybe $1,620.
All right.
They get that close.
So when you get those bids, for the record, will you give us the bids?
Mm-hmm.
And meanwhile, all in favor, or discussion, I'm sorry.
I can tell you from a personal fact, I had a tree taken down of the house. I had four contractors come in, arborists, and they range anywhere from $1,200 to $2,500. Okay, so there's a range in there, but the ones in the middle range were just as good as the ones at $2,500. I don't know who you're going with, and I'm not going to ask. I mean, there's a couple good ones in town and old line and whatnot in the area.
Well, what we could do if we approve
it.
Put
a cap on it of the 17, like Steve said.
Put the cap on, keep the other bids for the record, and then that may guide our decisions in the future. If we're not comfortable with how it worked out and maybe somebody else would have been better, then next time we can have a special meeting. But so, all in favor?
Aye.
Bill, are you there?
Aye.
Did you hear the motion?
Yes, I said aye.
Oh, sir, you said A-Y-E. I thought I heard I. You're about to say something. Okay, that passed unanimously. Thank you, Jim.
Sure, I'd like those bids to become matter of the record, so we have the three bids, and we
we will document that we did it
the right way. So.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Jim. Do you have any other questions?
I did have two other questions are in regard to the request to open the playground and open the basketball courts.
Can we address some other things first, and then the board can decide, considering the time and the length of the agenda, how much time we want to spend on everything. There are first, thank you for the new railing. That's wonderful at Nehantic. Everybody my age is reveling, I'm sure. I just wanted to clarify, because this comes up every year, we're having seaweed cleanup starting now, daily beach raking, and it is not fiscally, based on the previous years, it's not fiscally doable to have it carted out every day. So there's going to be some risk, depending on tides, that we may have some smelly days. But right now the beach is getting raked every day, as every other year, and removed, is it weekly or depending on how messy it is?
Depending on how messy it is.
Okay. Thank you. I just wanted to clarify that for the public because there are a few comments on that. Couple of questions about the beach patrol. Do you have a schedule, not 9 a.m., 10 a.m., but four, you have five people. Are they? How often are they looking at the parking lots? Do you have a schedule of there are this many parking lots and we need them looked at twice a day or something so that it's definitely happening and it's happening because it's been an issue. We've had complaints again and again.
Plan is to stagger their schedules. They're going to work 6-hour shifts. So it'll be 10 to 4, 11 to 5, 12 to 6. So we'll have coverage from 10 to 6 every day.
Is that in their job description?
Yes.
Yeah. That they're going to work from 6 o'clock?
Well,
I thought we had hours.
I wrote it in the job description I gave them when I hired them.
Is it in the job description that the board has approved? My understanding was we did not have them work until 6. Are there a lot of people on the beach at 6?
They're all for it.
Okay, so here's the
Cheryl?
They can be all for it, and you can be all for it, but you need to work it out with the board if that's not in their job description.
Okay, I didn't even know it was in the job description.
Okay, so would you take a look at the job description and don't change it unless you come back to the board with changes that you want made. I know we just put it up for review before the summer started. So, again, it's like whatever the board policy is what needs to happen unless if we'll respect what you say, but we have to have a discussion. We can't change policy without having the governors be part of governing.
Yep.
Okay.
Cheryl? Cheryl, this is Phil.
I don't know.
Phil, two things. One is that's not what the job description is.
Correct. Hello? You're not with the job description. Okay, what else?
It says 11 to 4:30 A and B.
11 to 4:30.
Yeah, and B, more importantly, if that's going to add hours, that adds expense. We're, and if all of a sudden we're talking about 30 hours, we're not budgeted for 30 hours a week per person.
But you can do it for
so we really, really have to look at the numbers.
Okay. So Phil is saying whatever hours are in their job description, that is what we have budgeted to pay them for. So if you're having them work for more hours.
I'm not having them work more hours. I'm staggering. They're still working 6 hours.
And Phil is saying 11 to 4. Phil, did you say 11 to 4:30 in the job description?
That's what the job description says.
Yeah, so that's five.
You've got to switch that because that's never been the hours, though.
Okay.
That's never been the hours.
when and you went over it, that's what I have for the board to approve. So whatever it is, Jim, you have to do it unless the board changes it. So it's, you can stagger them. But, well, actually, you can't. Right now, the job description says, 11 to 4:30, 11:30 to 4, Phil? So you have to do what it says, and if you want to change it, we'll talk. But that's why you have a board of governors. You have a whole bunch of people throwing their ideas in. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and the most important thing here is cost.
I'm sorry, what, Phil?
The most important thing here is cost. Unless Jim is saying you're going to stagger them, so how many hours a week is each guard going to work? Jim?
Right now they're going to work with their what the job description says, but Jim was saying eleven to.
Right now it's been 11 to 5 for as long as I've been doing this job.
6 hours. Okay.
For the last couple of years it's been 11 to 5.
Okay. If that's then it's been an error, if that's not what the job description says.
I know there were some changes that did get made when I put those changes in. They did get made. So I don't know what happened after that, but I've never had 11 to 4:30 as their hours.
Well, more importantly is you're going to have to work, make sure the budget works.
Wait. What, Phil?
I'm not adding costs.
Make sure the budget works.
Okay, so Phil is saying, so you're saying it's 5.5 hours based on what the job description says now, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so we are budgeted for 5.5 hours. So if they're working 6 hours, that's over budget.
Well, he needs to talk
issues. One's a budgeting issue, and the other is we need to abide by policy or change it, but you can't change it on your own. Okay, the board's got to change it, and we listen to you, but we need to be part of the process. Okay. Phil, anything else?
No, I just think Jim should sit down with Al and do another budget review if he's going to change the hours.
Well, I think he needs to sit down with the Board of Governors before he changes the hours and talks to Al about it.
Well, but he needs to come up. He needs to know how much it'll cost if he should sit down with him before he comes to us.
Yeah. So there's two issues, the budgeting issues and how does one go about changing policy. Mr. DeShanko.
Can we make a motion to change that now because we're starting to hit the high season at the beach and solve the problem right now?
We would have to have Al's input because we're changing the budget then.
No, not the budget.
Oh, just the timeline.
Just the timeline. Just to say, instead of a timeline, say 5.5 hours a day and let you determine the best time.
You can make a motion.
Sure.
Does anyone want to second that?
I make a motion that we remove the timeline and put in 5.5 hours a day.
Okay.
All in favor? And Phil, are you in favor of that same time but staggered?
No, I'm not. I want to know how much it costs first.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, I am not because you're increasing the cost.
No, we're not increasing the hours. We're just staggering them. We can be specific about the hours. Phil, I keep forgetting.
It sounds like a contradiction if someone's up long.
If it's 11 to 4:30, we have budgeted for 5.5 hours per day, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so what the motion's going to be 5.5 hours, but staggered throughout the day. So now everybody starts at the same time. Is that okay, Phil? Because it's not going to change. It's not going to change the budget.
We're going to have more people on the beach, or going to have people on the beach longer, right, than they are now. I can't.
Give you a tray. I'll put it on a tray. Can you mute your phone, please, so I don't hear your conversation?
So I think if we look at 5.5 hours, Jim is trying to respond to the flow of people. So that he wants the freedom to have those 5.5 hours be maybe at different times on different days by different people. So rather than constricting it to the hours of 11 to
4:30. He might have some go later and work later and some work earlier hours, but it would still not exceed the 5.5 hours we have budgeted for.
So he initially said that he was going to have people on the beach from, I don't know what he said, 10 to 5 or 6.
Right, that's not part of the motion. The motion will be for the budgeted amount of hours. The change is that it will be rather than one set block of time, he'll have flexible times. So they might start earlier and end earlier or start later and end later, depending on the population of the beach in the week.
I moved down here to people watching TV. Do you want me to move?
So it won't change the budget.
Okay.
Whoever is listening, could you please mute yourselves because you're in the background, except for you, Phil. Okay, do you want, right now we have a vote of 6-4. We're waiting for your vote.
6-4?
I'm sorry, 6 F-O-R. 6 are 4 in favor of 5.5 yeah. hours, but staggered right. throughout the day.
So it'll pass. I'm not going to vote for it because I don't understand
okay.
it.
Okay, so 6-2 and 1 abstain. One abstention.
Good.
Okay. So we will have the staff working 5.5 hours a day, but you can choose the hours. Thank you. Thank you.
Cheryl, can you let me know who seconded the motion? I got it, except for the second.
Oh, who made the motion? Rick made the motion.
I seconded it.
Rick made the motion, and Steve seconded it. 6-4, 1 abstain.
Thank you.
Okay. Jim, I think what I was hoping for you from you today, we're in line to do the parade. We voted for the parade 4-3. We postponed the decision because we heard from Mark Nickerson, who said now things have changed. So he sent the board an email saying he could basically give us his blessing as long as we could plan to do it safely. One of the things when I originally spoke with him, and he said, well, people can line up rather than crowding. I said, well, we only have 3 streets and we have 580 homes. And we were talking about, well, maybe we can have people if we're not going to have ambulators and bicyclists, maybe the vehicles can go up and down more streets so people wouldn't be clustered. So do you have an outline of what the parade will look like?
And they have agreed to, like, lead the parade, as they always do. I was thinking along the way they were doing it at the high school parade, where graduation, where it's mostly cars, and they decorate their cars and golf carts. And it was just going to be the regular parade start here at gathering here for an 11 a.m. start. And I didn't really get into the parade route. I was just going to go with the one we were planning on, where we always went. But I like your idea of going up more down more streets if we're not having walkers or bicyclists.
Did you talk to Ledge Light or East Lyme about the precautions and changes that they did from a typical parade?
They were like, there aren't really anything different. According to them.
Well, yeah, but they're not the resource. The resource would be Ledge Light or East Lyme.
I did not talk to Ledge Light about
okay, parade. We're going to have to figure it out today then. Some of the things Mark mentioned in our conversation were no walkers, no bikers, and extended route. I guess I'm not quite sure how to handle this in terms of motions. Because we're having a parade, it's just what it's going to look like. So, yes, Will.
Okay. I believe Nickerson told people to congregate in parking lots for the high school parade.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and space each other, and space apart. We don't have people congregating to see it. There's no place for people to congregate. That's the difference between each one. if people are the only place we have for people to congregate 6 feet apart is here, and the parade's out here.
No.
Am I getting that wrong?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea to have it in the vehicles and in your golf carts, and no bicycles. But also include no Vespas, no motorized vehicles. This isn't a bicycle, it's a...
Right. Golf cart.
Right.
And, or just no motorized, no two-wheeled bicycles. No two-wheeled
vehicles.
Okay. So, golf carts, cars, trucks.
And they have to stay in.
Stay in. Whatever we come up with, I'll publish. And then I'll ask you to supervise.
Can you say that?
Right.
Well, that's a two-wheeled vehicle.
No two-wheeled vehicles.
Just say must be a four-wheeled vehicle, not that you can have a three-wheeler.
Good. Must be four-wheeler.
Cheryl?
Or anything else about that? Yes, Bill.
No throwing candy.
No throwing candy. That's a rule every year. Hard to enforce, but we can certainly...
Is that a rule every year?
Yep.
I didn't know that rule. Lack thereof. Yep.
It's not in our rules, but it's announced every year. I don't think we have any rules. Do you want to expand since we don't have walkers?
I've been breaking the rules.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry. What, Phil?
I've been breaking the rules and didn't know it.
I've been breaking the rules on the receiver end. I don't yell at people to stop throwing candy at me. Yes.
People are responsible for their own social distancing.
Okay. We all have our opinions. Yes. People, we cannot make people socially distance. However, when you say don't socially distance at your own risk, it's not about your own risk. You're putting the community at risk. And if we have somebody either be on a ventilator... No, I'm just saying we need to make it available to people. We need to have the parade set up in such a way that people that choose to socially distance can. If we only have the parade on three streets, we can't fit 580 families on three streets 6 feet apart. So Mark was recommending that we make it longer, so that everybody doesn't have to conglomerate at the high point. Is that doable, and do people want to include that in our guidelines?
I don't see.
You leave here, you go down where?
You can go up and down streets. Instead of just going down and around, you can go up and down a couple of streets.
Yeah,
go up and down. Yeah. Everybody's going to be in cars, and nobody's going to get tired. Yes.
My question is... Yeah. Parade, wasn't it the men's club that usually puts it together, or is it the board for the group? The board does it? Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
I didn't either.
All right, so add the street.
All the street.
Well, yeah, I mean it's going to go faster because we don't have walkers.
Yeah.
So just up and down every street.
They know it's going up every down every street.
And that way you'll still hit the corners of Sunrise.
Right.
Okay.
And if you want to drop out of the parade, you just drop out. You want your candies off.
Okay. This is not a policy, but for this year, I just want to pass it by you and I will post it. So let me see if this is what everybody is thinking is okay. Golf carts, cars, and trucks, every vehicle must be a four-wheeler, no pedestrians, no throwing candy, and the route will go up and down every street so people don't have to conglomerate at a...
Up and down, make sure everybody's up and down.
You go up one and down the next.
So they'll just zigzag up and down. So so no matter where you are, you'll be able to see. Even if you're on Sunrise or Sunset, they start at each shore and go up. Yes.
So pulling a boat and a trailer is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The trailer is a two-wheeled vehicle.
But it's attached to a four-wheeled vehicle.
No bicycles with training wheels.
Don't make me smack you, Steve. Okay, and...
just be careful with saying every street, because we have some dead ends.
Saltaire would stop.
Well, I will personally take the flack if someone has an issue with Waterside not having the parade.
My street either.
That's right. We'll have to double up. Is this acceptable? I don't think we need to vote, but I just want to make sure it's representative.
Up to your discretion.
Yeah. And the same thing, people will gather up here.
Yeah.
Same time.
Everything's up for you. Maybe we can work it out together so you can throw in the organization.
It should be earlier, but it should be longer.
Well, there's no picnic, so there's no rush to get to the hamburgers.
And it's going to start at 11?
What, Phil?
11 o'clock start. Is that what Jim said?
11 o'clock start. Okay. And so line up at the norm. The normal is like line up at 10, leave at 11?
Yep.
Okay. Right. Okay, we are going to move on to old business. And at this point, Wendy Bourget, are you on or do I need to unmute you? I think I need to unmute you. Because the Cahill Scholarship, Wendy, I'm going to ask you to keep it relatively brief because, as you can see, this is a long meeting. And hang on, let me see if I can find your name on this list. Unmute you. I remember seeing you earlier. Nope. I have a wireless caller that might be Wendy, but I thought I had two wireless callers. Here you are. I got you, Wendy. Okay. All right, so Wendy Bourget on the Cahill Scholarship.
Hi, Cheryl.
You're on, Wendy.
Hi, thank you for
please.
Pardon?
Speak as loud as you can, please.
Okay. Thank you for giving me some time to speak on behalf of the Cahill Black Point Scholarship Fund. This is normally reported at the annual spring meeting, and we give some quick highlights about the winners. This year's winners are Natalie Taylor and Jason Sinning, and they each will receive a $1,000 scholarship. Natalie graduated from East Lyme High School this year and is attending the University of South Carolina. She is a strong student and a standout field hockey player. She was also a member of the lacrosse team and held numerous volunteer roles, including raising funds for the Miracle League field, combating substance abuse among peers, and raising awareness about environmental issues. She is the daughter of members Angela and Timothy Taylor. Jason Sinning graduated from Cheshire High School this year and will be attending Dartmouth College. Jason is a member of the Science and Math Honor Societies and was a member of the football and track team. He volunteered as a tutor and for Special Olympics and discovered a new appreciation for the importance of responsible recycling by volunteering in a thrift shop. I am going to share, actually my husband is going to share two quick excerpts, one from each of their essays. I know this is always a highlight.
Okay, this is John Bourget. The conclusion of Natalie's essay reads as follows. Growing up in Black Point has shaped the person I am today, whether it is taking in the neighbor's trash can or giving them the extra ingredients to finish baking, we always look out for one another. We are a collection of different religions, ethnicities, careers, political parties, and socioeconomic classes that share a love of the ocean and of our community. We are a small enclave of a place that to most seems long forgotten. So when posed with the question, where do you see yourself in 10 years, I didn't hesitate to answer, living in Black Point. Why would I want to go anywhere else? This next paragraph is from Jason's essay. Lastly, I see Black Point as a source of stability over time. I have grown over the last 14 years, not unlike everyone else. Frankly, I have even grown since I started writing this essay. People have come and gone in the community and in my life. Opportunities have been had and been missed. Times have been good and been bad. But Black Point is still Black Point. Like the big rock at Seabreeze Beach, Black Point remains strong and unwavering, regardless of the storms that come its way.
I'd like to thank all of the students who took the time to apply and share their Black Point memories. I'd also like to thank fellow readers, Wendy Pagani, Kyle Weiss, Blair Casey, and Jenny Strand, obviously Mary Cahill, and the members of the Scholarship Committee, the Community Foundation of Eastern Connecticut that manages the money, and those of you who, of course, made this possible through your donations to the fund. So thank you, and it is a joy to read the essay.
Thank you, Wendy. Congratulations, Natalie Taylor and Jason Sinig, and good luck. Thank you for all your work, everybody. All right. Okay, next is, it should be pretty brief, the Long-Term Fiscal Planning Committee. Sadly, our chairperson of that committee will not be with us after this week. So now that we can use the clubhouse for small meetings, I'd like to ask that committee to reopen their activities, and perhaps the whoever's on the committee can get together and you can choose your own chair of that committee. And then let the board know, remember they're public meetings, so you'll need to have them posted when you meet, and you'll need to have notes. Obviously not as expensive as these. You could use zoning for a model. But if you choose, get the ball rolling and get yourselves a chair. And then you can let us know what's happening next board meeting. Is that okay with everybody? It was fast. Great. Okay. I sent to the board and will post with the minutes all the policies and procedures that we have changed in the context of working, but we have not officially okayed them. So we have officially okayed the changes in many, many rules over the past year and a half, and they haven't been changed in our policy manual or on the website. They kind of scrolled through, so I put them all together, gave them to Brooke, and when we have everything together, she'll make the change, because there are a lot of changes to the website and to our manuals pretty much all at the same time, and then we can add the trickles. But we have a big piece of work that the board spent the past year and a half, 2 years working on. So we don't need to approve the changes that we have motions on, and we approve them. So I just asked Brooke, I listed that, and I think I sent it to everybody. We do need to approve things like the job descriptions that we use when we were hiring people, but we never made them official. Job descriptions, employee contracts, the permission to use the right-of-way document that Steve came up with for staging. So everybody's gotten that through the email, had a chance to look at it. Does anybody want to, obviously it looks like we need to review the Beach Patrol one, so we can leave that out of the mix for right now. But of all the other job descriptions, employee contracts, and the permission to use right-of-way for staging, can we approve those for inclusion in the website and in our policy manual? So I would just need a motion, and then we can get those put together and organized, and so that when people want to know what's happening, we don't have to say it's written down somewhere, but we don't have it official.
I'll make a motion that we accept the new job report, the job descriptions you forwarded. What else was on there?
Employee contract.
Right-of-way contract.
And permission to use the right-of-way for staging form.
Okay. I would make a motion that we move on past those and include them in our, where appropriate, in our rules and regulations.
Second?
I'll second.
Any discussion?
We're leaving out the Beach Patrol until we get the hours straightened out.
Until we'll review that again. Okay. And I'll put that for next. Okay. Phil, did you hear that motion?
Yes, I did. I have a suggestion on the Beach Patrol.
Uh-huh.
Why don't we just take the hours out?
And just give that, and just say 4 or 5 and a half hours, or not have the hours in it at all.
It's not normal to have, when you think about it, you know, you don't usually talk about hours in the job description. So maybe we should just take them out, and then we just deal with it as we move along.
Okay, so we want to amend. Do you want to amend that motion?
Yes.
Which means to include the Beach Patrol contract without the hours, exclude the hours.
Yes. I would.
You need some hours.
We don't have to identify the hours, like we don't in anyone else's job.
But you have to say 5.5 hours. You can't just say they'll work. Then you can get some people who are going to be working 8 hours a day.
Well, no, that's Jim's problem. No, but there are no other hours in any other job description. Just occurred to me as we were talking that no other job description talks about how many hours anybody works. So I don't know why this one would.
None of our other job descriptions have specific hours. Everybody works independently, piecemeal, and they don't get paid by the hour.
But they're on salary.
They're on salary.
Right. So this would lead to a little bit more, you know, over budgeting. We could be run over our budget if we don't have an hourly time frame. I just think we were stipulating earlier that it was from 11 to 4:30. Then we said 5.5 hours. Now we're saying, well, no control over hours. You know, Jim will do it, but we're just letting go of all the control by the job.
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay, so do we want to...
I withdraw my motion
not to go over the amount budgeted for it, and Jim will keep track of the hours.
It's a long-term document. We don't want to have to change it every year.
I withdraw my motion.
You would what? You
withdraw my motion.
So...
Do everything but the Beach Patrol...
Or do everything, including the Beach Patrol, but modify the Beach Patrol to not the times, but to 5.5 hours a day.
Okay.
We also have how many days a week there is. But somebody can make a motion if you want to do that. So we can either move to accept everything except the Beach Patrol, or move to accept everything with a modification to the Beach Patrol by saying 5.5 hours, but not which 5.5 hours.
Should we vote on what's already been moved and seconded?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We can't have too many motions on
right.
the floor.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It might be more efficient just to change, but that's an amendment and I lose track. Okay. Do you remember, should I ask Brooke for the original motion?
The motion is to
approve all the contracts minus
all
the
these have been approved already by the board at previous meetings, correct?
Not voted on. We've been using them in context, but not as a long-term document.
So the question is, do we amend the motion to add the Beach Patrol on there now?
I would.
Okay, let's deal with the first motion, and then we can amend the first motion.
The first motion's without the
Brooke
patrol.
Brooke can tell us what to do.
Okay.
Hey, Brooke. Brooke?
Okay, well.
I'm here.
Okay, so the way to go about this, do we vote on the first motion and then vote on amending the first motion if the first motion passes?
You can do it either way. You can just go ahead and vote on the one you made, or let's say Steve's the one who made the motion originally. If he wanted to, he could just right now say, I amend my motion to include such and such, and then Rick could second the amendment if you agreed.
Okay, so do you want to amend your motion, and then if
we do it all one fell swoop? Okay, I'll amend my motion to include the Beach Patrol for a 5.5 hour work week.
Five and a half hour work day.
Day, work day. Per.
Five days a week. Is that what they do, Jim? Pretty much, yeah, or less.
Well, the only thing we have to change is
the hours.
But you forgot to say that you're going to approve all of the documents.
Oh, approve all the documents. We have the contracts and the job descriptions, and amend the Beach Patrol hours from 11 to 4:30 to 5.5 hours a day.
Second. All in favor?
Right.
Phil, was that a yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. All against?
No.
He's writing something.
Oh, is this, before we vote, is this discussion? I'm sorry, okay.
Okay, if someone is out sick or for another reason, we may need to have patrol work more than 4.5 hours. For coverage.
I think we have to vote on this first, and then you can bring it up again. Because the motion's out there, it's been seconded. Huh? Okay. So are you voting no on this?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Brooke, we have 6-1. So that motion has passed. And, Will, did you want to bring up, there may be more detail than we usually do in contracts.
I think we're establishing a general policy, 5.5 hours. 5.5 hours. That's up to him. I mean,
yeah, so
if somebody's not coming in, it's not going to cost us any more for another person not. I think it would just establish the main principle. I mean, who saw COVID coming, you know? So you have to do for 99% of them. So good point, though.
Okay.
You could say normally 5.5 hours if you wanted to.
Do you feel the need to make a motion to change that again, Phil?
No.
You spent enough time in this already.
Okay. Thank you. All right. We're moving on to new business. Last late summer, early fall, at the Board of Governors meeting, several people were concerned about illegal parking on right-of-ways at times where we don't have enforcement. And that was primarily around Cahill Way and around Main Beach. For several years, we have also been hearing that there are problems at Osprey, mostly in evenings, with illegal parking primarily for fishermen. But just in general, a lot of illegal parking on Osprey and a lot of parking on the waterside right-of-way where one can park but not parking in the right place or, you know, winding up on someone's lawn. So I don't know if I already said, we got 10 emails from people that live in the Osprey area with some recommendations based on some of these problems. And I will go over their recommendations since they were consistent and doable if the board chooses to address them. Right now, the current response to enforcement is done between the hours of 11 and 5 by the manager and beach patrol. What has been proposed for immediate things that are doable would be signage on the right-of-way and possibly painting on the asphalt that came up last to get people's attention. Marking waterside, that is pretty much the only place that's not clearly delineated. There are 3 parking spots on waterside, and they're from the asphalt to the property owner's line. And there are 3 cars length. Now, this part is what I got from Mary historically, 3 cars. So there was no measurement, but 3 cars are supposed to parallel park, yes, on the grass, not on the road. And the people around Osprey said one of the issues with illegal parking, besides the fact that it's illegal parking, is that fire trucks cannot get to houses. I'm just reporting to you. We can talk about it later. But at any rate, the point is it's something that people would like enforced, and it is a legitimate issue. People are not knowing where to park on waterside because it's not marked, and people are parking on waterside without tags. So there's the question. Enforcement, There's also the question of just letting people know. So some of the concrete things that are relatively easy that were suggested were better signage. Hang on just a minute. And marking with posts or something that three-car length, so that there's some simple delineation between the property's owners. It doesn't have to be a fence, just some easy thing, because people don't know. They don't even know that they're supposed to parallel park, and signage on Waterside. The other things they suggested where the homes abutting the right-of-way are, especially where there's a big piece of grass off of our right-of-way that belongs to Black Point. Again, having some kind of delineation to discourage cars parking on the grass. And originally we heard fence, and we all interpreted fence like a fence so people can't get from the road to the grass. But what they meant was just something, you know, like aesthetic, not cones, but the concept of some kind of post so people can easily go from the grass to the right-of-way asphalt, but cars can't park on the grass, both for the benefit of the grass, because all that turf has been gotten chewed up and regrown, but was chewed up. So they were hoping for some kind of demarcation to keep cars from pulling over onto the grass, because that's also another place where they tend to park illegally. They also requested that we ask our weekend evening patrol police to actually drive down to the Osprey right-of-way. Their experience is that they drive around but don't actually drive and see what's going on in the right-of-way. So those are all things that seem like we might be able to process. Another thing that came up was, can we work with the police to see if off hours, when we don't have enforcement and there are people parking and making noise, what the police, how, whether or not the police would respond to basically a trespassing complaint? Because apparently the people, whether they're fishing or partying or whatever, that's a point where there seems to be disturbing noise. And you can't do the noise ordinance because then they have to come down and measure decibels, but you can do a trespassing thing if people are there and they're parked illegally. I had heard from your area as well, there were activities on the beach. So that's kind of a more elaborate thing, working with the police to see, is this something that you would respond to? But I was wondering if we could address, like, are there some physical things we can do that will, first of all, educate people that don't know, and if people do know, just remind them that this is, like, not okay. Because right now, there's no signage and there's no parameters outlined at all on Waterside. Yes, Jim?
There is a sign. A brand new sign was put up there yesterday.
At Osprey. Yesterday. Okay.
There's no parking.
Okay.
Okay. No sign's ever been there before that said that.
Okay.
It was an old fire lane sign. We couldn't even read it.
Right. Okay.
So now we have new signage up there that...
Okay. So that's a start.
It's loading, unloading, no parking.
Okay. Thank you.
There's another sign coming. The homeowner owes us a sign, a big sign that has the swimming rules on there. So that should be coming anytime. I talked to Jim Ventress. He's helping me on that.
Okay, great.
So,
but that won't address the parking. That's about swimming.
Well, it'll address, it's signage that says the rules and the fishing times,
right.
And then the new no parking sign,
okay.
And then we are planning to put a no parking on the pavement. We discussed
Good.
At the last
Good.
Meeting. I bought the stencils, I bought the
Great.
Paint, I'm just waiting for
Great.
The right quiet time to do it.
Thank you. So two of the other suggestions that don't seem too complicated would be a simple demarcation of the waterside parking, three car lengths, and the distance from the property line to the road. Yes, Will?
Do we know where the fence is on the right-of-way or on the waterside?
We would have to find out where the, well, we certainly know it's one car width. Actually, the owners could tell us. Actually, what's the name here? Yes, Peter, right? Peter could tell us. He and his neighbors have been living there. I'm sure they could tell us where their property line is. But I suspect that the property, if we're parallel parking and you just pull off the road, there's going to be plenty of room. I think the issue is that people need to parallel park in only three car lanes, and they, one, don't know that, and two, may not literally be able to judge that. So if we could have some simple demarcation that's cosmetic, you know, white post, something in signage. Yes, Mike?
So is this the one that runs parallel to the beach?
Yes.
Or the one that goes to South Beach?
The one that runs parallel to the beach.
So there's no parking at all on the right-of-way going to the pier?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's
problematic. Water side is always at three spaces.
Yeah.
The question is, where does our property start and stop? And where does the homeowner start and stop as far as off the pavement?
Yeah, I think they need to be cognizant of that driveway across the street. So if somebody parked not totally off the road, in the road, and they
right.
come out of that driveway.
They should be on the grass. And
right.
I think that's probably an easy solution because I know the people living there are invested in this getting marked. So I think if we work with the people who own the abutting property, we could probably figure out a reasonable place to mark off. And, you know, maybe the signage would need to say, and park on the grass. You don't know, parking on the asphalt at all. And on the newly planted right-of-way, do we want to think of, again, some posts or some things that are going to allow freedom of foot traffic?
No.
You know, not a fence that people are going to have to jump over, but something to keep people from parking. Okay, we'll talk.
Well, over at the boat ramp, you talk about going down the boat ramp towards the water
uh-huh.
and all the grading that was done on the left side of that.
Water.
So mm-hmm. now there's stones there, and everybody's griping because the stones are there,
where,
and they shouldn't be there. So we're
going
to run into the same thing if we put fencing on that new side.
I think the issue with the stones is people can't access that because the stones hurt your feet. And you can't
right, so that fence is going to do the same thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, not a fence, but an aesthetic version of a couple of cones. You know, like a white post here and there, short, low, cosmetic something, so that cars can't pull over, but it's not going to impede traffic or affect the grass at all.
Yeah, again, surely it shouldn't be.
But you're in the spring and
winter.
Hey, you guys, this is getting to be a problem. Will, did you want to say something?
No, I'm
okay, that can be done after the meeting if we decide that we can have. I'd be happy to have you guys do that, and I'm sure Peter would help you figure out exactly where we can have. Is that what you're talking about? The parking on Waterside? Yeah, I think with the property owners, it would not be hard to delineate something. Yes, Rick.
Do we have any parking hours for any right-of-way? I mean, are any approved parking space? I don't think we have any parking hours.
I thought it was 9 p.m. at the Whitecap parking lot.
And right-of-ways, right?
Yeah, 9 o'clock.
11 o'clock for the beaches?
That's a whole other question we have to look into, so we can
I
wait
thought,
on that. That came
the only one I thought I read was the Whitecap at 9 p.m.
Yeah.
The Antic says the right-of-way closes at 9.
Right.
Okay, so 9 o'clock
okay.
is the...
And fishing also has some hours, doesn't it?
6 to 11 between Memorial Day and Labor Day.
Between May, I think in their bylaws, it actually says, it doesn't say Memorial Day, it has May 12th or May 15th up till Labor Day.
And after that?
After that, it's anytime.
Anytime, okay. And another thought is we're becoming a winter community, so if people are parking there illegally in the winter, it does impact the community where in the olden days nobody was there, didn't much matter.
The complaint was a lot at after hours, wasn't it? I know there was some.
The complaint around Cahill Way was around during hours as well. So I think just globally, I think, and we could ask Wendy or Peter, I think the complaint for Osprey was mostly around evening. Because that's when it's not enforced because we don't have any enforcement. You know, if someone calls Jim in the middle of the day and he can go, he'll go, but there's no one to call in the evening, you know, unless it's enough of an issue. And Jim and I can talk to the police and find out what options, but I think for the more immediate thing, can we talk about, is there something we can do to constrain traffic and educate people based on what the recommendations of these 10 families were? Yes.
Well, I think we should take a road trip down to South Beach and look at that right away.
Okay.
Right away or at Waterside?
Well, we're there, we're going to look at both of them.
Yeah.
But I think it's easy to judge what we're talking about if you're there and you can see what you're
okay.
Want to
all right.
Do.
So if we I'm happy to have anyone go and look. I would hate to have to wait till July to respond to these people's concerns.
I'll go tomorrow.
So, well, just in terms of can we approve whatever you want to do? I mean, it's not going to cost a lot to get signs, but...
I mean, signs are up.
Well, not all the things. Are the signs on the right-of-way, and do we want to... Do we want to constrain traffic so that it can't pull over onto the grass on the Osprey right-of-way?
I think you do because in the spring.
Okay. So let's talk about what we can decide today and then how it's going to happen. Once we decide, yes, this is something we can do, you guys can look and decide how it's going to happen, what it's going to look like. But I was hoping, I mean, we could say yes or no, but I'd like to make some kind of decision so that people aren't waiting a month because this comes up every year. Yes, Rick?
I'd say, first of all, signage, yes. Now, do we have to have a motion, or can you just do that? Because you're trying to...
What are we talking about signage? That's what I'm...
Waterside.
Like
and there is a sign up now. Up, is the sign up yet at...
For no parking?
I know
parking?
You got it. For no parking
yes.
At Osprey?
Yes.
Okay. Do you want to... Last month, I think we said it was okay to also paint...
Yeah.
No parking. Okay, so that will happen.
Give me the end stencils and the paint.
Wonderful. Okay. So what we have already agreed upon without making a big policy is the sign is up at Osprey. We are going to paint no parking. We will get a sign, and maybe we can talk about it. You can talk about someone just about the wording for Waterside. It may need a little more explanation than just no parking or park here or whatever. So those are easy done deals. How about some kind of demarcation? Not we don't know where, but do we want to demark something so, because spatial judgment when you're parking somewhere and there's no lines or no anything
right.
Is difficult. Do we want to put some kind of subtle demarcation? And you guys can decide what it would be like and where it would be, but do you want to put some kind of subtle demarcation around the Waterside parking area so people know where it's okay to park?
In the spring,
yes.
That's going to become a mud pile. If it's soft.
Mm-hmm. If it's what?
If it's soft, now.
That's not
Waterside. No, I'm just talking the Waterside. The right way there, it's assigned as a parking
right,
spot.
Right, but you're going to be off the road on the side.
That's where people always park.
Right, but if you make it permanent parking.
It is permanent parking. The thing is they're parking all over the place.
And it doesn't get...
And they're not parallel parking. They're pulling up onto the people's lawn.
I would say the majority of Black Point members don't even know those three sections
correct.
Exist.
Okay.
It is in the bylaws, but it's bylaws.
The only people ever use them is basically the people that fish off the pier.
Okay.
And prior to the house on the waterfront there, or the side is on Osprey on the right of way, prior to the garage being moved to where it now comes out on the water side, there wasn't too big of an issue there in the past. People were able to get down to the house. There's only three houses past there down Waterside, and they were able to get by if there was a car there, as long as it was off the road. If it stays on the road and doesn't go on the grass, you're not going to get there. We're going to get a ballpark past there.
Right.
So you got to be on the grass.
You have to be on the grass. Okay, so the easy stuff we already did. Rick.
Okay, so signs you're all set on?
Yeah.
Okay. Parking, we're going to say we're going to do mark the three spaces. They have to figure out a way to do that, whether it's...
That I wanted a consensus on. Is that okay?
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Spray paint it? A line?
No, because it's on grass.
I know. You just go back.
No, we got to get maybe later. A poster, maybe a beginning. Like when you're on the road, it says, do not park beyond this sign. Do not park in front of this sign.
Yeah.
We can figure it out, but is it something, there's a consensus that we should do it.
Maybe little gravel lines or something. Yeah. And then the next one is police. Who contacts?
Well, wait, before we get to police. The next one, if we're talking about marking, do we want to do anything to keep cars from parking on the grass? Because that seems to be another issue. There's enough room to park on the grass. Now I'm talking the right-of-way, on the right where that new sod is. Or do we want to put some kind of post or something that allows people but not cars to go from asphalt to grass?
you could put some sort of small post with like a little chain, maybe foot and a half off the ground, and a post every,
anything.
I don't know, 4 or 5 feet with a chain in between them.
As long as there's space with no chain.
Stop people from parking
that
there,
kind of
but
thing.
People could still step over it to get onto the grass or whatever.
That's the question.
Yeah, and once you get further down towards the beach itself, you would stop because that's where the bike and tie rack.
You got,
yeah,
there's no problem down there.
So you'd have, you know, you don't want to go so far down with it.
Is that something we can have a consensus on?
Yep.
Okay, and I would just want to throw in, as a geezer, we're going to have to break in that. If we're going to have any kind of chain, we're going to have breaks because not everybody can step over even a 6-inch. But maybe we don't even need the chain. We just need a couple of posts that discourage. Okay, so we will do something about that. And
you just
Jim
post every 6 feet. I mean, I would put sign on there too, no parking.
There is no parking sign on there.
Yeah, but if you put the post in.
They won't be able to park if the posts are there.
Well, how tall are the posts going to be?
4 feet?
No.
They just need to be little, just so the car's higher than a fender, right? Yeah.
Right.
Just so that people don't want to, we don't want to make it ugly. Yeah. You know, we want to be discreet. Okay. So I need a volunteer or two to work with Jim on what the signage is going to say and what the posts or whatever are going to look like. Rick, two of you want to work together? Anybody else who wanted to go look at the environment?
No, I think it's pretty much settled about
okay.
It's going to be.
All right. And Jim, at some point, we will try to just go visit the police chief and see what is available to the community. And meanwhile, would you please talk to the weekend folks and ask them to make sure they actually go down to Osprey? So those are some...
Cheryl?
Yes.
Cheryl, it's Phil?
Yes,
Phil.
Yeah.
Speaking of the weekend folks and the police, is it... How do we, if somebody wanted to contact that police officer, is there a way to do it?
Thank you. I totally forgot. That was another question. Jim, when the police are patrolling, how does someone contact them?
Well,
he checked in with me at the beginning of the shift, and he asked me if I've been concerned about talking to him then, but that's usually the last time I'll talk to him.
Okay.
So he drops off the logbook at the end of the shift.
So if I, as a member, see something that needs to be addressed, and you're not working anymore, and I want to get in touch with the people that we are paying, I am paying as a member to patrol, how do I get in touch with that individual?
We have to call the police department.
Yeah. We call the police department.
Okay.
All right, thank you. Thanks, Phil. Okay. That was a question someone asked me, and I didn't know. So I was like, well, you can't be asking Jim at 10 o'clock
probably
at night.
Be a dispatcher, too. It might not even be the police.
Can you find out?
It wouldn't be a 911 call. Unless
routine call. Can you get us the number, and I will post it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Or we'll put it in the notes, or we'll add it. Thank you, Jim.
There's a non-emergency number, 860-739-7007. I can put it in a minute.
Do you want to use an emergency number for stuff,
though?
So?
Not
Oh, no, this is not an emergency.
Great, thank you. Would you put that in the notes, Brooke?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. So I'm assuming that, I remember last year people were concerned about so much illegal parking on Cahill Way after hours. People know not to park there. There's signage there. Is there anything we can do to address that?
Well,
on weekends they can.
Way.
On weekends they can. On weekdays.
So, I ran into a few people down at South Beach, and they said they weren't against having a neighborhood watch established, and they wondered how they could go about doing it.
Good question. I think we should encourage them to look into it.
I think they're active 24 hours a day, right?
I don't know how it works. And I think that's more safety.
Ago,
I don't know if that's like
15 parking. Years ago we did it. I was actually like a captain for my neighborhood.
You have a safety belt now?
But we had a meeting and everyone like exchanged their numbers and we had a list.
So what would you do if there was a neighborhood watch and there were people parking after hours? I think the problem
is more,
So that's not going to help that situation. It's a good idea.
People watching each other's house, burglary.
Right, right.
No, they seem to feel they could take control of part of these things that we're talking about now.
I would encourage them to look into it and get back to us.
Good.
Yeah. Although I don't know if they need our permission. I don't know if they need our permission to have a neighborhood.
Well, I mean, they're the people that live in the area, and they could be part of the solution.
For sure.
Can I just point out that I did receive a complaint from a member who was down fishing there this season, like a month ago, and he was in between the correct hours, and he felt like he was getting harassed by a neighbor who came out, asked him, started making up rules that he had to have last year's hanging tag, he wanted a park on Waterside. And he complained to me that he felt harassed. But
you know, I think that's an important concept. We are now a 40% year-round community. Those of us that are going to use the facilities in the beach need to keep our passes all year-round, and that's a really good point,
yeah.
Jim. So from here on in, we will encourage people to use their, to just keep them on their cars all year round, and then there's no problem, and we don't have to get into altercations and being threatened and...
This member was saying that, you know, he hadn't got his pass yet.
Well, but if you keep it all year round, you always have it. You don't throw it out in September. You keep it on your mirror from May to the next May. So if we can encourage everyone that's here to do that, there's no reason to throw it out. I mean, I used to throw mine out because of the New York. But there's no reason not to have a tag. That's what they're for. So, and it's just, nobody's at fault. We just have to make sure that people understand that we're a year-round community now and people are going to have to be accountable.
I have gone down different times, Jim, with guys fishing down there and just said, hey, are you members? And, you know, asked, you know, and they would say yes, and they would give me their name, and I said, okay, fine, I recognize the name, I recognize you, or whatever. I said, but whoever, you know, I did say, one member, your golf cart is parked on the grass area. I said, you can't park there. Please move it to Waterside Lane. And he reeled in his rod, and he moved it over to Waterside that night when I was there. But nobody's giving me a hassle. I just didn't say, you know, I tell them who I am. At the time, I'm a Board of Governors member and whatnot. I'm just doing my job, just checking to make sure we have nobody from outside the point in here trespassing and taking advantage of us.
Thank you for doing that. If we all do that, that'll be great. But still,
I know
you don't know the person. You know, we're going, oh, we know you, so it's okay. Well, someone else is a member. We don't know them. They shouldn't be beach. Everybody, whether we know them or not, needs to show. I need to bring my beach pass down to the beach when I come.
To the beach. You know,
expect people to recognize us.
We get back to a subject that was brought up in the past. That if you're fishing off the pier, you should have a black point fishing tag saying you're a member to fish. Because, like you said, I don't know everybody down Main Beach. Main Beach doesn't know everybody from South Beach.
Let's bring that up in July.
You know?
Sounds like a great idea.
You know, I mean, it's been brought up in the past.
But we didn't do anything.
All you do is throw it in your tackle box or on the side of your bucket. So you
I will put that on the agenda for July.
You know, that's all.
Thank you.
So,
any other comments for the Cahill Way area, because that came up last year and again this year. Any other suggestions other than on weekends we can call our on weekdays, is there anything that we can recommend people do?
Last year there were a lot of contractors down there. Mm-hmm.
That's not what the complaints were about.
They were
about golf carts parking and social activities and any suggestions? Otherwise, we'll leave it to the community to get back to us in case they have any ideas.
You
all right.
Have problems all the time the kids are working. If they're there till 6 o'clock, they can ticket them, right?
Yeah, I think it's like early evening.
I'd say if the kids are still
if
out
the kids are there,
parked,
you're right. If we have them scared, we'll... Okay. Yes.
Are we ticketing or warning?
We decided this summer we are ticketing right off.
Have we ticketed?
Yep.
Cash?
Yeah, I didn't send any cash, but you're...
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, we're ticketing $25. I ticketed $25.
Okay, so...
Have you gotten any back?
No.
When... is there a date by which... does it say pay by? Mm-hmm. Would you add a month or whatever you think to pay by?
Can you print the ticket?
No, just write it.
All right.
And then we will also talk to the police about, I called the police at one point to say, can we access registration numbers in case people choose to ignore the SCOTUS laws? And when I was talking to Mark Nickerson, and he said, don't ask him this week. Because this is not a good week to ask the police to do anything other than get things in order for COVID and stuff. But maybe we can pursue that too. Okay, thank you. So, Rick and Jim, and before you do anything, could I just find out?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Okay. Long-term system, after-hours parking, election procedure. I posted the election procedure. Jim has worked out a whole system where nobody's going to be in the front unless they're leaving. They'll come in through the back, they'll park or walk and wait here. There will be stations, 6 feet apart, and people register and people giving ballots and checking. Voters, people can vote and run for office and make nominations if their name is on the deed. If it's a trust, trust is an entity, not a person. Their name has to be on the deed. It can't be a trust, an LLC, anything that's an entity. Or if they are in trust, but they live here and vote in the town of East Lyme, they have the same rights. So that's what the people that are handing out ballots will be checking. And then people will come in here staggered, write down their ballots, leave. Will made two ballot boxes. Half of the people will go to one ballot box, half of the people will go to the other ballot box, and Billy will be handing out donuts. All socially distanced. So the whole process, everybody needs to stay 6 feet apart, so it may mean a little waiting. Yes.
It was brought up to me, is it one vote per household?
It's whoever's on the deed.
Okay, so it's Mr. and Mrs. or...
Or if they're both registered to vote.
Okay.
And Beth Brecker and I took all the trust people.
Yep.
And checked in if they're... And so wrote in, yes, they can, even though it's a trust, they are registered voters, so that whoever's checking can say, yeah, trust, but you live here. And if there's any questions, we'll have a computer with it, because there's always questions.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that should work relatively well. And if there are, right now we have two candidates that we know of. We're going to be taking nominations from the floor. In the past, if there have only been two candidates, we didn't do a vote. I think this is not a good year to change, even though I looked at parliamentary procedure and you should. This is not a good year to change anything that we have been doing in the past. So if we only have two candidates, can I assume that those will be the people on the board?
Two candidates, two open seats.
Yeah.
Have the secretary cast one vote for each. And
there we go. That's how you do it. Yep. Okay. And yeah, Brooke was going to look into it. Okay. So okay, and nominations will also be taken from the floor. Okay. Kate Perulis wanted to talk about some women's club activities. Okay, I am looking to see if you're on this list, or can you unmute yourself while I'm looking? Lombardo and do you have your phone? Would you call Kay's number? I just have to find that paper. Do you still have that paper with the phone numbers on it? Gave it back to me. Big mistake.
Is it on that little piece? Did you want to stand
there? There it is, on the back of that. Give that one back to me. Okay, we are waiting to contact Kay Perulis, who wants to pass by the board some COVID-sensitive activities for the Women's Club. So thank you for your patience. This has been a summer demanding patience from everyone.
860, there you go.
Yes.
Oh, she may be in the phone.
Rick, would you call Erica and tell him to get ready? Okay. All right, well, Kay, if you're out there, yeah, you know what, I'm going to go to Q&A just in case Kay is trying to get in touch with us. So once I go to Q&A, I am going to ask Kay Perulis to dial *6 if she is listening in. Kay Perulis. Okay, while we're waiting for Kay. Yes.
I have questions.
Yeah.
Cindy Fountain, 31 Mike Cap Road. When you published about the parade, could you also say whether they're going to go up and down starting?
Which side?
Yes.
Thank you. Would
so
you help me remember that?
Will have an idea
right.
when the
they're not sitting
going.
For 3 hours on the corner of Yellow when they started it. Good idea. Thank you. Okay. I don't see Kay. We'll check in with her again. I am leaving question and answer. You're working on them right now, the rec directors? Okay.
They decided to go up and down every street.
Great. While we're waiting for the rec directors to get hooked up with us, there are two. All right.
Starts at 11.
Originally, I had an executive session for some employee things, but one of them does not have to be an executive session. So we are going to talk about additional services from the secretary. And, okay. As with last year, the special assessment, that was a whole bunch of added hours, and in the past, anytime there's been a special assessment, the tax collector has gotten reimbursed for the extra work. The secretary has probably attended, well, in the past couple of months, four times as many meetings as she bought into. So not in terms of, an employee evaluation, but just simply time spent that was not, there's no contract, but the general understanding is the secretary comes to one meeting a month, takes notes, writes up the notes. When there is a substitute, the reimbursement for substitute secretaries is, I think it's $18.30. So Brooke has requested reimbursement for time spent regarding all the extra meetings with COVID. And if you guys are okay, I will just put her on. Or she? Oh, you're here, right? Right, Brooke.
I'm here.
Okay. Did you want to summarize the extra work that was being done and your request?
Well, I spoke in my email to the board about the additional work I took on with the website, taking over tasks from the webmaster, just because I found it more convenient to do it myself rather than having to be in constant contact with her.
Yes.
Plus, it was a savings for the association by having me do it. That, along with taking over the email, which I recently did. And obviously I've been doing more because of the COVID situation, been doing more and more of that. In terms of special meetings, I've mentioned that a general rule of thumb for a recording secretary is an hour and a half work for each hour of a meeting. So I would, you know, guesstimate that for the special meetings alone, that that was an additional 20 hours.
And what was your estimate for time for the email and webmaster?
I would say probably it's broken up like a little bit here and there, but I would say like five hours.
All right. So you are requesting reimbursement for 25 hours above and beyond what your typical job requires.
Yes, if the board is amenable to that, yes.
All right. Did you have an hourly rate in mind?
Well, my one for my recording secretary starting rate for the town and everywhere else is $18.32. So,
$18.32. And that's going to take me twice as long to multiply.
estimate is fine.
Okay. So we would be talking. All right. I'm just going to come up with a figure, and then the board can discuss it based on your request for 1832 times 25 hours. Anybody have a calculator?
Okay.
Otherwise, no. $458? Thank you. Okay, so now it's time for the board to discuss what they feel is reasonable to reimburse the secretary for extra work above and beyond related to COVID and tasks that she has taken on that have saved the board money in terms of email and webmaster.
Great job and deserves it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this is before COVID, we have extra. Do you remember how many meetings you've been to in the past, in the past year, because this is the end of the year? I mean, last year we had a whole bunch of, last summer we had a whole bunch of West Lane related meetings. I actually think it's probably more than that. Does anyone want to make a motion? The sum that we came up with based on $18.32 an hour for 25 hours, $458 for her extra work, for what she's submitted for. Well, it's not really for this past year. This fiscal year. That's why we're bringing it up today, because this is the end of our fiscal.
I make a motion that we recompense her $500 for the additional work that she's done this year.
Second. Will seconded it. All in favor?
Yes.
Okay, that's unanimous. Let it be put in the minutes. The secretary will be reimbursed for extra time for $500. And Brooke, thank you so much for everything you've done.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
Okay. All right, Erica and Nadia. Let me see if I can find you. Otherwise, we'll go to Q&A. Oh, thank you. Two three five. Not if you're coming anywhere near us. I'm sorry it's taking me so long, folks. Just got to go through all the names. Here we go. I'm not quite sure how to get you both on at the same time, so we can go back and forth. I think we can only do one person at a time. So I'm going to start with you, Erica, and then you can pass off to Nadia, and I will switch. Oops.
Sorry,
I had you, here we go. I had you unmuted. I muted you. Okay, this is Erica Garnett to discuss possible activities through recreation. And you know what? Excuse me for a minute. Kim, only because if I allow you in here, I would have to allow any member. So it's being teleconferenced.
I tried to get in on public comment, and it said it was muted. And you've gone by public.
We'll have public comments again.
You just had public comment.
No, wait. No, we had it at the beginning. We're going to have it at the end of the meeting.
Okay. Whoever it does.
Oh, that's not public comment. She's on the agenda.
Okay.
Thank you very much for understanding. Okay, sorry, Erica.
That's okay. Can you hear me okay?
Well, I can, and can you too? Good. Talk as loud as you can. That way I don't have to repeat everything.
Okay, great. So I will talk as loud as I can. So what Cheryl just said is that because we know that club is not happening this year, Nadia and I have come together and tried to discuss some activities that we can safely do efficiently with the limited, you know, resources that we have. So what me and Nadia have initially brainstormed would be an idea to continue movie on the beach, since that's already somewhat of a distance activity that doesn't require interaction. It's something that the community is used to doing. So that's one thing that we would like to still have happen this summer, and maybe more often than it has in past summers. In addition to that, or maybe before the movie on the beach, before it gets dark out, there could be some kind of like community gathering with food involved. Of course, people would want to bring their own stuff, just again for safety purposes, but having some kind of food at the beach or in an open space, maybe it's, you know, at the clubhouse, like not inside of the clubhouse, but outside. So that's another option that we've also considered. And then something else that we've also thought about, Nadia and myself both work in schools, and are during kind of the virtual learning environment that we're both coming out of. A lot of schools have been participating in Spirit Weeks, virtual Spirit Weeks. So we thought that maybe somewhat towards the end, or perhaps falling around the same time we would have Color Wars, we would host some kind of virtual Spirit Week where people can participate by sending in photos or safely, like in person, showing their participation. And we'll have to think more on how exactly that would look. But that's what we've come up with so far. And I think that, I don't want to speak for Nadia, but I think that, you know, we would love any and all feedback on that to make sure that those are things that people actually want to do and feel safe participating in.
Thank you. Before I take comments from the board, I'm just going to either ask you a few questions or make a few comments. Obviously, anything virtual would be wonderful. And now that Connecticut has reopened, the numbers of people gathering in public places is certainly bigger. The fine print is there are lots and lots of restrictions from the health department. Any large public gathering needs to be assigned a certain start time and end time. Attendance needs to be taken. Obviously, social distancing needs to be maintained. So in terms of the movie on the beach, my question would be, what would it take for you guys to do that? And the reason for the attendance is because if anybody gets sick, just like with the AIDS epidemic, the Board of Health wants to get in touch with everybody that may have been in contact. So there are lots of caveats with large group activities. Doesn't mean it can't be done. And I think before we did anything that involved food and gatherings at all, we would need to see more documentation from the Board of Health about what that would entail. That said, I'm going to toss this out to for you guys to discuss with the board what they think, what questions they have, et cetera.
Sounds great. Thank you, Cheryl.
I believe, this is Rick, I believe that what you said with the food, they would have to bring their own and they would have to stay with their own food. They couldn't pass it out. Is that correct?
That is correct. That would be the intention.
Yeah. And I think in that particular case, you know, where they bring their own food, their own water bottles, their own drink, then that would be, you know, as long as it's not, they understand that that's part of the rules, I think that would be okay. We've seen some gatherings in other places where people bring their own beverages and their own food, but it's not shared food or central food. And I think that's,
right,
that's acceptable. And right, it's just like a restaurant, you can get your own food, but you don't share it from a buffet.
Okay. Right.
July 3rd, another phase opening, I think it will be extended.
Yeah, the numbers are probably going to get better. The constraints, nobody reads the fine print. You know, it's like, yes, you can do this, but this is what we want, this is how we want you to do it. So we could do food, but Erica, we would have to know how you are going to maintain social distancing. Very often when there's a group activity, the Board of Health recommends that families gather on blankets that are a certain amount mm-hmm. of feet apart, not just on the beach, but for other group activities. And how could you supervise that? And two, would it be worth anybody's while to come to a picnic where they are on blankets 6 feet apart? My concern, and again, this is a personal concern as just another board member, is that right now we're not sure how many risks are safe to take. And we may be able to take mm-hmm. lots of risks, or we may find, as with other states, that as we get more comfortable with things, the risk becomes greater and people start getting sick. So my personal feeling is to, for one summer, err on the side of safety. So if we can guarantee that we have a bunch of kids that are going to stay 6 feet apart or keep their masks on the whole time while they're mm-hmm. eating, obviously not while they're eating, to me it sounds like, if you come from my point of view, whereas I would rather not have to feel bad if someone here winds up on a ventilator.
Right.
So, you know, that's my take on the picnic, and again, not as chair, but just as a board member.
No, I think I completely agree with you. I think safety should be, you know, 100% everyone's first priority. So I think that if we have to pause on the idea for a picnic, that is, I think, more than okay for me. I don't want to speak, you know, on behalf of me and Nadia, but I think that's more than okay. I think to answer your original question, too, about how we would logistically handle movie night, that would probably require a lot of contact with the community ahead of time to explain to them there's probably only going to be a certain amount of space that can be taken up. So first come, first serve. And that we'll have more on purpose this year, so everyone can, you know, if you don't make it the first time, maybe you'll be of priority the second time. And it might even be a matter of me, Nadia, and whoever else going down to the beach with a tape measure and measuring out where people could have a good viewing experience but still being safely separated from other families, which I don't think either of us would mind doing.
Yeah, I think, you know, all the activities have different parameters, so we should be looking at one at a time. I know Rick wanted to say something again, but... does anybody else on the board have any thoughts about these?
I have a question. Is there any way you could set up the screen up here and have like a drive-in movie night up in the clubhouse?
That's a fantastic idea.
Yeah, I think that's definitely possible.
You can set up the screen up here. And you can drive up and stay in their vehicles and just have a drive-in movie night rather than on the beach.
Yes. The movie sounds like the easiest one to manage.
Right.
I don't know how you get the sound into the car.
Through the phones.
That, well, Erica could deal with that. We just want to make sure it's going to be safe. She's going to figure out all the tough stuff.
But the speakers are, I mean, it's like on the beach. You've got speakers for the sound on the beach, right, for the movie? How does the sound come on the beach movie?
She'll figure it out.
Just roll down the window and you can have the...
That's you. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Mansfield Driving has opened up. And their spacing is every other car space mm-hmm. is empty. Yep. So you're not going to fit a lot of vehicles up here if you're going to space. Okay. And they can only sit in the vehicle or in front of the vehicle in their space. They can't intermingle with other people.
Right, yeah.
Okay, so let's take these things one at a time. Movies. Is movies doable from the board's perspective? And then Erica will look at the parameters and see if they can do it considering the constraints.
If there's a way to do it safely within the constraints that the states that they got to go by, then why not?
So possibly cars, possibly blankets on the beach, but manageable, supervisable. You would have people, if it were on the beach, being able to make sure that their people still are distancing. That's for you, Eric. Oh, Phil, you have a question.
Yeah. My question, is there a cost involved in the cost of this, all this stuff?
Yeah, that was another point that we mentioned. Whatever Erica and Nadia do, they're going to have a cost if they want to be reimbursed, because there is no budget to pay staff.
Correct.
So do we want to move on to that after we even see what the board is comfortable having available to the community and then address cost? Is that okay with you, Phil?
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure that we are talking about reimbursing them and that there would be a cost to it.
I think that was pretty clear, right, Erica?
It was, yes. And yes, it was. Thank you.
So one of the moving on. What, Erica?
I'm sorry. I just wanted to address what you had just brought up, Cheryl, the idea of what supervision would look like. This is just my thought, but I feel like in the dark, that would be kind of difficult, you know, right? I feel like you might need a flashlight, and then you're kind of impeding on people while they're watching the movie. So I'm wondering what people would think about if we kind of put out a statement, you know, having people, like, acknowledge that if you're coming to this, you need to respect the guidelines to come at your own risk, right? And we're doing everything that we can to make it as safe as possible. But, like, everyone should be looking out for themselves, and no one should be violating those guidelines. Because I feel like supervision would, if we're not in cars, supervision is going to look really difficult, in my personal opinion.
I think it's really important to have everybody take responsibility for themselves. I think we also have to remember that if people choose not to take responsibility for their behavior, it's not on them. It's on their whole community.
Right.
I know when I go to the movies, if I stand up by the screen, I can see everybody's face by the light of the movie. But again,
okay,
come on, Boris.
Is there a limit on gathering people in a group at a function?
Yes.
Still,
it's
how many?
Changed, yes.
How many?
Did it go up to 250 yet?
On July 3rd.
We'll have to check. It's going to change by the time they do it. So the issue isn't so much the numbers, but can they supervise all the other parameters?
Yeah.
Movie sounds like probably either in cars or at the beach with people on their own blankets. But I don't know. Yes, Rick.
I understand your concerns, and they are valid concerns because for health. But Ledge Light, the article that I received and I sent out from one of the school districts, my wife moved some people there, are allowing playgrounds to reopen, you know, with the stipulation that you got to understand that the equipment's not going to be cleaned every hour on the hour after every person. There's certain things that they're allowing people to go in a circle of trust or a circle in their community where they can do some things because the socialization is becoming so critical for the younger kids. So I think that anything we can do to offer them certain things, even if we have to invite their parents to come along to supervise, which would take all the burden off of Nadia and Erica. Not all
they just
of it,
have to supervise the parents.
Parents or, unfortunately, grandparents, they have to supervise. But it could open up a lot of opportunity to do a lot of the things that the co-directors are talking about. And I think as the community is loosening up, it would be kind of odd for us to stay way behind them, so we have to watch what's opening up with each phase to try to at least be paralleling the opening up of the state of Connecticut and the community.
Thank you. Okay. Again, can we go one by one, and then does anybody have any more questions about movie night?
Can they post someplace what the movie is?
Sure.
If they're going to do?
Yeah. If it's Board of Governors auspices, we can put it on. Well, we can certainly put it in the black pointer.
It's never been.
In the black pointer?
It was years ago.
Yeah, it used to be in the black pointer. Yes, the answer is yes. We can put it in the black pointer. We can ask the people that have been sending out emails to, you know, Women's Club and Men's Club has been great. mostly about COVID stuff. So it might be the Black Pointer does the social stuff. Women's Club and Men's Club may want to be helpful by saying, we'll put in the parameters in which you need to participate based on what Erica. Any other thoughts about movies, a movie night? Are people comfortable with a movie night?
Cheryl? Cheryl?
Yes, Phil.
Well, is there, I'm a little confused as to far as the plan. Are we talking about something that happens once a week, once a day, once a month? I mean, is there a specific plan that says, here's what we're going to do, how often we're going to do it, where we're going to do it?
Can you answer that, please, Erica?
Yes, I can. That's a great question, Phil. So Nadia and I sat down today, and we planned out, we wrote out each week. So with each of the 7 weeks, our goal is to have one big activity each week. We don't want to, you know, we don't want to overcommit. We don't want to undercommit. So we felt like that was a good place to at least start right now in our planning. So as of right now, we have 4 movie nights that we would like to do. So 4 of those 7 weeks, we'll have movie nights for the big event for that week. And our first movie night would be starting the week of July 6th. And we would announce those ahead of time.
Given the understanding that you guys will raise enough money to pay for whatever needs to be paid for, including your services, does the board want to approve a safely administered movie on the beach? Or 4 of them?
Yes.
Yes.
So, okay? All right. We're okay with movies on the beach, Erica. Okay.
Great. Yay.
Kind of what did you want to call it? A picnic? A food gathering?
Yeah, that food gathering, picnic.
Okay.
Any of the two.
Yeah, no
cool. We're thinking of the beach or on the. We can make an exception. We do on the 4th of July when the fireworks are. Well, tell us more about the plan in terms of the safety considerations for what is it going to look like, and then we can have the board ask some more questions.
In terms of like the safety considerations, you know, the same kind of social distancing would be at play. It would be, you know, one family contained to one blanket. Everyone would bring their own food. There'd be no sharing. So it would be pretty similar to.
And it's a beach, you know, or clubhouse.
I don't want to speak for Nadia. I think we're pretty open to what seems more feasible and more safe and more efficient for a location. So I don't think we're tied to one place.
Okay. I don't think it matters. I don't think you're going to have enough room for anything in the clubhouse, but you have the whole clubhouse property. Anybody have any questions about the food and drink?
Cheryl, it's Phil.
Yeah, Phil.
Sorry. So, okay, now the movie nights are at night, obviously. Is there more things that they're planning?
They were talking about. Go ahead, Eric. You can answer that, Erica.
Yeah.
So what I had mentioned was movie nights and then having a virtual spirit week. So again, that's kind of through the whole week. In terms of like during the day kind of activities, and I don't want to speak for Nadia, that's something I think that we spent some time over this past week really trying to think about, but that's something that we're really trying to, with limited funding and just with all the safety precautions that we would have to take. I think that's something that we would love to hear feedback, or if people do have ideas, just ways that we could make that work. So I feel like just given the constraints that we're working with, we don't have much in terms of during the day activities.
Okay. Let's skip the food thing first to the probably easier one. Does anybody have any issues with the virtual sphere? Any virtual anything? Okay. So again, Erica, consensus, what? Okay, virtual stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Virtual stuff is fine. You're going to have to figure out how you want to finance that. And the third thing that you came up with was the food thing. We got some feedback about picnicking and Mike and Billy were like, well, we canceled the 4th of July picnic, and what kind of a message? Does anybody else have anything to say?
I believe Nadia has something she wants to discuss. I don't know if people can hear her.
I'm going to switch to you then. I may be able to do you both at the same time, but if it starts screaming, I'll take off Erica. Oh, Nadia, you're on.
You're going to be here at 10 o'clock.
No, I'm not. I'm going to listen to my end.
I'm sorry. Okay, Nadia, we should be able to hear you. Say something.
Hello?
Yep, talk loud.
Okay, so another idea Erica and myself had was maybe after Spirit Week is finished to have a parade, and like maybe having the theme being like a Halloween theme, since nobody's really down here during the during October, you know, just something fun for the kids, because as well as wanting them to stay safe, we want them to have fun. It's some kind of a funky year for everybody.
So are you talking about that would be like at the end of the summer?
We were thinking more so after Spirit Week is finished.
And when's Spirit Week going to be?
Erica, when did you have that down for?
We had that down for the last week in July, which is around the time we generally have Color Wars Week. But again, that's just our initial draft.
The reason I'm asking is by the end of July, we may have new parameters, so you may want to wait to talk about the parade until the end of July, because we'll have a meeting at the end of July. Hang on for a minute. We'll have something to say.
Didn't we fund money for club activities in the budget? No?
Nope. Club pays for itself. Yeah, Rick.
The other thing is...
I just realized I cut off... Nadia, did I cut you off?
Nope.
Then Rick will say something.
Well, 3 hours. I think I can't take any more.
Oh, no, 3 hours?
Yeah. Writing down. I'm done.
It's going to be about 3 hours, yeah. Okay. All right. How about, is everybody okay with waiting until the July meeting to talk about the parade, since things may be different?
Why didn't she come up with a plan in that month and then present it?
Yeah, and come up with a really concrete plan, very, very specific for the July meeting for the parade. And we still have not, I guess, does someone, again, this is just consensus. How many people are comfortable with having a food event? I'm sorry, Rick.
Before we go there, remember the food event was canceled for the 4th of July here because we as a group make the food and pass it out, and there was sort of a smorgasbord of everybody bringing food, so it was a lot of sharing of food. I believe their attempt would be separate food brought by them. So it's a lot different than what we did here.
Well, actually, it was very possible for everyone to do the 4th of July parade with their own food. I mean, picnic with their own food. There wasn't space for it to be safe, and it was the control situation. So it just comes down to where you are on the continuum of, you know, having fun, which is important, and seeing your friends and being safe and comfortable. So let me just go around the room. Food event for guests.
Cheryl?
Mike's in the
Cheryl?
Hang on,
I think that they should, you know, you said put off the parade thing until later, but it seems to me that to make this thing viable that and to make it worthwhile for them, they have to know what they're going to be doing, how much they're going to make, how much they're going to spend. So I think they should have everything in the plan, and if something's happening at the end of July and it's a parade, they should have it in there. It can change, yeah, but I don't see how we're going to be able to do anything with this unless we see something that's substantive. And I think it should be for the whole summer, not just for parts of it.
I agree with you, Phil, and my frustration is that we've been working almost 3 hours. We have some other business to address, and we don't have clearly delineated activities. So we're spending a lot of time with ifs, ands, and should we do this, and should we do this, instead of a really solid plan that we can say, yeah, this sounds great, or no. So we're kind of inventing the wheel on time that we need to be spending with other board business And historically, when we get to hour three, we make bad decisions. That's why I'm kind of rushing things along and hoping to postpone things, because we have something very important to talk about during executive session as well, and we have one more thing on the agenda. So I'm going to throw it out to all of you about how you want to proceed with this.
Cheryl, it's Phil. I don't think I just asked for you to spend a lot more time. I asked them to spend some time putting together a total thing. I don't see how that takes any time. I want them to come up with a schedule, and I want it to be for the whole summer.
Okay. So if they
if I could just chime in.
What?
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Cheryl. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
This is Erica. Yes, and with all due respect, we have an initial plan for the entire summer. We just haven't put a ton of kind of meat and bones into that right now, just because we wanted to make sure, getting all of your feedback, that these were viable things to go forward with planning. So it sounds like we've gotten some good feedback on the movies and the food. So with this information going forward, we can Nadia and myself can definitely go forward and really plan that out, and then show what we have to Rick and Cheryl and whoever else. So I think this feedback's been really appreciated, just so we know how we can go forward now to plan.
Great, thank you. I misunderstood, and I was feeling under pressure to make all these decisions tonight. Okay, so there's one other thing that we need to address before the end of the fiscal year is Erica and Nadia this winter put in 10 hours each in preparing for the summer's club, which did not happen. So we need to reimburse them. Normally they get a salary. That's not going to happen, so I would like the board to look at a reimbursement for each of them for their 10 hours of work this winter. Do you guys have any specific requests that you want to be considered?
Not at this time.
I don't know.
We decided that this week, because it was on the budget for the 1920 year. Okay, board? Rick?
I think if we reimburse Brooke, we should reimburse the co-directors.
Absolutely.
So
we need to know the amount. That's the question.
It's just the amount.
Yeah.
So
we'll do the hours that they're requesting, but will there be any additional because they're doing this extra work for the activities for the rest of the summer?
My understanding is that club pays for itself.
Oh,
so okay. For whatever activity they do, they have to build in collecting money to pay for their time.
Okay.
So we just have to deal with the non-paying preparations they did. So we need a figure.
What's their average pay an hour when they're working at the club?
There's no really, because it's a salary.
I know it, yeah.
Rick.
I don't know. I just thrown out, the same as the secretary, but.
So we have two suggestions.
I'd make a motion we reimburse them $20 an hour for each of the 10 hours. It'd be $200 each.
Oh.
They probably spent more than 10 hours on it.
I think so.
Okay. Okay. So $200.
$200
each. Steve. Moved. Rick seconded. Everybody. Phil, you want to want to vote on that?
Yes.
Yes. Unanimous?
Yep.
Okay, that was a unanimous vote. Thank you.
Thank you, girls.
Yeah, thank you so much, Eric and Nadia. I know this is arduous.
Thank you.
So hope to hear back from you soon. Let's see. We have public comments, executive session, and we got an email 2 days ago from Elise Joyce, who has a friend who's a tennis pro, who we looked into this 2 years ago and we okayed it, but now it's a whole different time and we're pressed for time. We were asked to make a decision for the first two weeks in July for someone who's an expert who does clinics. To provide clinics at our tennis court. It wouldn't be hard to work out the complications, but we have to know tonight for because it's the next 2 weeks, and we would have to consider all the other COVID-related things. And I'm opening up the board. Do you want to make this discussion? This is a last-minute request. We have a lot of things to deal with. Does anybody want to address this right now? It was not on the agenda, but since everybody got the email. Yes, Will. We don't know any of that. We know what we need because we've been through this 2 years ago. Okay. How many people want to engage in a discussion on this now?
I think it's too soon.
Consensus. All right, that's just a consensus. All right, so we're gonna hold off on that. He's gonna be here for the whole, I don't know. All right, we can't address it. It's too late. Okay, we're gonna take. Does anybody have anything else that they want to move to discuss today? We have the executive session. And we have public comments, and I think we addressed everything. We did not get K. I don't know. You call? Okay. All right. So what we're going to do is everybody in the public, I am going to do the question and answer session. So all right. If there is any comments or questions you would like to address to the board, please dial *6. And we will recognize you one at a time. Give your name and address, please. Okay. Peter.
Yes, Cheryl, hi. I'm going to make this quick. I've got a lot of history on having lived here for 15 years on Waterside. I would be more than happy to meet with Jim and Will. If they want to, tomorrow, I know exactly what needs to be done. We need 3 signs on Waterside. I've got an A1 survey of my lot, so I know how much is belongs to me, how much belongs to. It's more of the Dagata area, actually.
I'm going to repeat all this. We're having trouble hearing you, so I'm just going to summarize what you say for the staff, for the board.
I'll repeat it. Cheryl, I'll repeat it. Can you hear me now?
Say it again. Say something, Peter. Can everybody hear him?
Cheryl, can you hear me?
I can hear you. The board can't hear you. I will repeat sentence by sentence if you would like.
All right. Tell them that I would like to meet with Jim and Will if they want to. I can do that
tomorrow. You'd like to meet with Jim and Will.
I've got a lot of knowledge about the right-of-way on the
water. There's a lot of knowledge about that right-of-way historically. He's been here forever. I'm modifying. Go ahead.
And we just need 3 signs, but I would love to meet with them, and we can solve this very simply, whether it's Jim Will or whoever. But I'm available, and we can solve the problem.
And your number is 240-731-1321.
That is correct.
Okay, so those of you who want to address this, would you please contact Peter? He suggested tomorrow, if possible. I'll give you the number afterwards. I have his number. Okay, thank you so much, Peter. Anything else?
No, I appreciate your time. You guys ought to go home. I was never at a
school.
I
know.
Cheryl,
okay.
Come on.
Take care. Kim Craven.
Hi, Kim Craven, 46 East Shore. I know you just brought up something about tennis, and I think in the past you've brought up something and also voted on it after public comments. If you know you have something new, I wish you would bring it up before public comments so we can comment on it, and then maybe you'll be able to vote on it. I didn't hear the dollar amount on your first motion for the company. Whether it was $250, $500, if I understand correctly, I liked Ruth's idea about when she gets the tax payment back, they send a self-addressed envelope, and then she will send their hanging tags. Don't know if that's legal not to give somebody a hanging tag if they haven't paid their taxes. I do agree with charging if their tag wasn't stolen but just lost, because if we only have so many and then when those run out, if somebody else gets one that's stolen from their golf cart, then what do they do? Maybe somebody can put a temporary one in their golf cart, say who they are, they're at the beach, and then they get to hang on to their tag. But we pretty much know who everybody is around here, I think, unless they take down golf cart license plate numbers. I don't know, just another thought. You talked about putting staging on the right of way. I'm not sure what that's about. I hadn't heard of it before, but what type of liability is that for the association if you allow staging on our right-of-ways?
Do you hear that?
I agree with beach security having the hours that they have. I like the idea that Jim is flexing them, but I also think if we're not doing much with club, you're going to have more kids, people on the beach. So maybe we do need those extra hours. And the update and policy procedure that you voted on, I'm sorry, I don't remember hearing it in another meeting, but I may have missed it. But if it could have been itemized more on the agenda for what you were going to vote on, that would have been great. And I like what the girls are doing with club. I give them a lot of credit for thinking outside the box. And this, when you come out of executive session tonight, are you voting, and will you come back online for a vote, or are you voting in executive session, or are you just having a discussion? And also, you mentioned in the agenda for Saturday that there will be a meeting after the vote's taken. Is that going to be online? Because if you're getting together as a board, a quorum for the board, then we have the right to hear what's going on. I think that pretty much sums it up. I hope I did it under 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Kim. Your first question, wanted a number. Who was that? What was that for? You didn't hear a number. Was that for the accountant?
Yes. The very first one, I think it was, the very first motion. I didn't hear it put in the motion. I know you all approved it, but I don't know what it was. So, and I'm sorry, I rushed through everything so much.
Put that in the notes rather than get Al back on.
Right, right. And I thank you for all your time.
Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and answer your questions, then we're going to move on, Kim, because I got a list of people here.
Gotcha.
We had an extra person hired for the summer of beach staff to help out with the changes in activity. After the executive session, if we have a vote, we'll sign on again, but I don't know how that's going to work technologically. I can say, you know, we think we'll be done in 20 minutes, but that we may not necessarily be. It's difficult. Certainly it will be in the minutes if we have a vote afterwards, but I'll re-sign up. After the election, the meeting with the board is simply to elect a chair. It's not a formal meeting. It's never been. There are no minutes. There's no documentation. We just elect a chair amongst the people. That's run by the secretary. And I am going to have Steve respond to your question about staging on the right of way and the accountability.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
What's the question about liability?
Yeah.
Well, the contractors carry their own liability as far as damage to their equipment and should be damage to the property. We just have to make sure that our right-of-way is returned back to its normal condition. We have insurance on the right-of-way for our usual business that takes place on the right-of-way, but this is obviously going to be a much more involved thing than regular business for that area. So they will, as with the pier, they the staging area at Nahantic and the staging area at Whitecap, they covered insurance and liability insurance for anything they did there, and they were protected against any injuries, too, with our public. But with the caveat that everybody stay out of there, and that was obeyed to a slight degree. There are a lot of people that still walk through the area while they were working there. So we just make sure that was in a contract that we agreed upon with the contractors that will be seeking approval from the Board of Governors.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Let's see.
Hi, Wendy Bourget here, 1 Osprey Road. Thank you to the board for taking time tonight to discuss the parking down in the two areas by South Beach. I was essentially speaking for the same reason Peter was, saying that I would love to meet. I think I heard Rick DeShanko and perhaps Will Fountain saying that they would address those parking signs. And because I do go out frequently to talk to the non-parkers on the right-of-way section on Osprey Road. I know Peter spoke to the waterside lane. I'd like to give my number, 860-305-1231, and would love to meet with the board members who are coming to look at it. Then as a side note, for the women who are running the summer programs, I do want to point out that they sit through and listen to 3 hours of meetings prior to getting to talk, that in July, if they are coming up for any other consideration, that we think even about paying them for their time waiting to talk or get them in somehow sooner. Thank you. Would somebody just acknowledge that that was understood?
Yes, thank you, Wendy. And they didn't have to sit through the whole meeting. We called them when it was their turn. But thank you for being concerned about them. They're wonderful people.
Okay,
so
thank
that was
you. Hello, this is Bob Trokey, 22 Blue Heron Road. I am a candidate for one of the open positions on the Board of Governors. My name is on the website, but my information is not, while another candidate's is, and it was my understanding that all candidates' information would be put up at the same time.
Absolutely. None of your information was put up?
Not as of the start of this meeting.
I'll look into that. They were both submitted at the same time, so I apologize for that, and we'll take care of it as soon as possible.
All right. Thanks, Cheryl.
You're welcome.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, this is Patty DeAngelis, 56 Seaspray Avenue. The question is just getting some confusion with myself and some friends that I've talked to. Has the number of the people in your beach circle increased? And are we supposed to have the beach tag exposed?
Yes, you are supposed to have the beach tags exposed, and we have not changed the number of people. Even though things have reopened, we have not gotten around to discussing it.
So is it still 5, Cheryl, then?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you. Night.
Night.
Okay, looks like... All right. We are now going to, I need a motion to move to executive session.
We'll make a motion to executive session.
Okay, we have Bill making the move, the motion, and Steve seconding it. Everybody okay with moving into executive session? Okay, that's unanimous. Phil, you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay, it's 6 and 1 we're not sure of. Thank you. All right, so I'm going to sign off. We are going to go into executive session, and let's say we're going to aim for 20 minutes, 9:30, to get back on. I can't promise. I'm sorry. This is the world of COVID and technology, but if we make a motion after we come out of the executive session, it will be in the minutes. So thank you, everybody, for your perseverance.